720 WGN. Thank you, Rob Martier. The best pro in the business, Rob Martier, up in the newsroom. A happy Friday evening to everyone out there. I hope you all have a long Labor Day weekend ahead. Gorgeous weather, Esmeralda Leon. It's amazing out
it's
there.
It's breezy and kind of chilly.
And
I'm wearing a sweater.
Mm-hmm, and we're filling in. See, layers are my best friend. Yeah. Anytime we can layer up to hide as much of me as possible.
Oh, no.
Well, no. I mean, just a few layers. I'm not one of those people that is body shaming myself.
Wearing all your clothes?
No. But if I can wear an extra sweater. Like, I went to the Cubs game this afternoon. And I was obviously excited to go to a team that's chasing the pennant, et cetera. But I was more excited to wear pants to the Cubs game today. It was really
and
nice.
And not sweat.
I mean, there were some summer games this year where you're just sweating as can be. I'm John Hanson. We're in for Justin Kaufman tonight until 10, and then we've got the sports prep show coming up at 10 o'clock.
Oh.
You seem surprised by that. I saw on Facebook you said we were going
11.
To 11.
We'll be here.
Yeah, we'll be here. We'll be hanging out.
In the universe.
Right. We will be here, in theory. And Esmeralda, I got to say, so we've only met a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
When I used to jump on with Patty,
yes.
We would meet then. But now I work in the mornings typically, early mornings on TV. But we are like ships passing in the night because I hear you every single day with Nick as I go to work. And we were talking about this, that I'm hearing you at your happiest moment,
yeah,
and you're talking to me at my saddest.
It's the happiest because I'm about to go to bed in a few hours.
That's the thing about working overnights. I've done that too, where people think, oh, how do you do it? It's like, honestly, you have no problem with the commute. It's easy breezy,
exactly.
And you're sleeping when everyone else is working.
Yeah, the only issues have been when there's a holiday on the Monday, and because I ride the Brown Line, it doesn't start till 6.
Oh.
So then I have to walk, but it's not a bad walk, at least in the summer, because the sun's coming up and this and that. And I've been riding my bike a lot, and I've been riding on the lakefront, and I'm starting to understand why people wake up at
early
dawn.
Because it's pretty.
It's gorgeous. But I'm like, yeah, I'm going to bed.
Yeah. This is really great. This is wonderful.
Beautiful.
Can't wait to shut the world away.
Now.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have heavy drapes or anything to keep getting you sleep?
I'm very lucky. My apartment is facing not the sun. Whichever the sun faces, I don't know.
West.
Okay.
Rises in the east, sets in the west.
Yeah.
Right.
So none of that, very little sun gets into my apartment at all. And then my bedroom window faces it's not an alley, but there's buildings in between.
So not much light gets in.
So yeah, I don't get anything. And I have two doors.
To your what?
To my bedroom. It's the weirdest thing. I can do a whole Laurel and Hardy bit. Like Three Stooges running around shutting doors.
Sounds like you live in one of the rooms in Clue where there's multiple entrances. Do you live in the conservatory with a candlestick or how does that work?
What's his face if the mustache comes in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's his face?
What's his name, the comedian?
Oh, I sound
so dumb right now.
No, it's okay.
With the mustache and the cigar.
I don't know who you're talking about.
You know,
Joey, any guesses?
Like that?
I don't know.
That was so vague. I don't know if I can help.
A comedian with a mustache.
British
brothers.
Are you talking about in Clue, like in the movie Clue?
No.
Okay.
I'm just talking in general. See, the listeners are going to be like, it's this.
Well, they can text us at 312-981-7200 if you know what Esmeralda's talking about.
I'm a world record holder.
Really?
Because of these people.
Really?
They had a movie play out in Grant Park a few years ago called Duck Soup.
Okay, I know Duck Soup, yeah.
So who are the three guys?
No idea. I know Duck Soup, I've heard of that. But
anyway, they had a bunch of people wearing Groucho Marx.
Okay, now I know who that. I just couldn't, you know, cigar.
pops out of my doorway every once in a while.
The other one, yeah, absolutely. So we're ships passing in the night, and it's so nice. And it was funny when you walked in here, you saw the sunlight, what's left of it tonight. And it was foreign to you, yeah, exactly.
And people outside. This is my lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Lunchtime.
This is your lunch hour?
A little bit, yeah.
So you nap, you go home and you go right to bed normally.
Right, and I wake up around 2, 3, 4.
It's so weird. I know, but that's what you do when you work overnight.
Yeah, wake up and like, sun, it's sunshine out, okay.
Do it every Sunday. Same drill.
Yeah,
I know. Great.
I got one of the nice corny movie masks that go over, like the sleeping mask.
You wear a sleeping mask?
I got one.
I could never do that.
I look like an idiot, but it actually works.
Well, no one's staring at you,
I hope.
Yeah, your girlfriend's still down at University of Illinois. She doesn't see you in the mask.
It's true.
It's totally fine.
Does it have eyeballs?
Yeah, so like it can watch while I'm asleep, yeah.
So it looks like you wake up.
I've never done a sleeping mask.
I don't think I could.
I don't like anything on my face. I think that feels weird. When people wear them on planes, I don't really get that. Or when they have the neck pillow, I don't really get that. I just can't have anything around my face.
Yeah, I would imagine that I couldn't sleep because I'd always be aware of this thing on my face.
Yeah, no, you'd always be constantly...
I couldn't move.
Right.
You can't. You just have to sit still and try to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
No, thank you.
We have a really fun show today. Mike Heidemann, who many of you know from WGN, is going to be joining us in just a little bit. We're talking about the summer festival season, how it's ended pretty much, but there's still a lot of great outdoor shows to see.
It's still going.
It's still going, yeah. We got Riot Fest coming up in a couple weeks, and there's some great shows this weekend. I myself, and you and I talked about this, I'm not much of a go out and see live music kind of person.
I'm not either. Yeah. I'm trying, but...
Right. So maybe. Mike's going to convince us.
Yeah, let's hope so.
He's going to convince us. And then a little bit later on, I know that we've all, the Colin Kaepernick thing is like the dead horse that we've all beaten completely. But Evan Moore, who is a reporter, he freelances at DNA Info here in town and also wrote a really cool piece from the Rolling Stone. He had a really interesting spin on it. He takes it more from the perspective, he talks a lot about how the coverage has changed and what the coverage means and how different sports writers have written about Colin Kaepernick. And we're going to get an update. Obviously, the situation has changed a little bit because he didn't sit down last night during the anthem. He took a knee instead. And then I'm really excited about pierogies. I don't know.
Yeah.
What was the inspiration? I've never tried a pierogi.
Well, Taste of Polonia's this weekend.
Okay.
So I thought, oh, I want to eat some pierogies. Mm-hmm. So I brought some pierogies from Pierogi Heaven. And since you said you've never had one, I was like, well, now I have to.
I don't. And Joey, you never had one either, right?
Yeah, you, both of you.
I know.
Nope, I'm terrible too.
I can't understand.
Well, like you were saying, I can't, you know, it's an often told stat that the second most Polish people outside of Warsaw is Chicago, is that that's a population.
Right. So I'm amazed you haven't just tripped over a pierogi.
I'm sure I have tripped over one. I just never bent over to eat
piles
it.
Piles of pierogies scattered throughout Chicago.
You know, and in TV news, we do like, I work for you and me, it's a WCIU in the morning, and we do a lot of, you know, we go out to bakeries, we do all this sort of stuff, and we're going to be doing pierogi stuff coming up because it's like very in season.
Oh, so this is a bit of a primer.
This is a primer, right, because I've never had them. So,
there you go.
And I know that there's some with cheese. I don't know if we're going to have the ones with cheese today.
I didn't bring any with cheese. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all meats and some veggies and a sweet one.
Right. So we're going to be trying pierogies, and you're going to get mine and Joey's reaction right away. And then a good friend of mine, Blake Stubbs, he lives out in California now. He's like a movie nut. And he's going to be joining us. He's joined me before, and Dane Neal as well, who's going to be on later tonight as well. You know, because like we talk about people want to go on Labor Day and have a great time and all those sorts of things. But also, Labor Day is about sitting around. Like holidays are about sitting on the couch and enjoying just some me time or you with your wife or husband or whatever it is and just vegging on the couch. But I don't know if you're like me. When I try and go on Netflix and try and find things to watch, it is like an endless pit of nothing. Like I can never pick what to watch.
I have too much to watch.
Too much to watch.
People keep telling me to watch things. I'm just like, there's not enough time.
So Blake's going to narrow it down for us. He's going to tell us exactly what to watch.
That's what I need.
And there's some new stuff coming out in September. And then we're also going to be talking about a little bit later on, and this I think is a really intriguing little question, is the idea of talking to yourself in the future. There's a really cool filmmaker who did this project where he actually filmed himself when he was 18 years old, interviewing himself, kind of open-ended questions that in the future, now he's in his 50s, has actually filmed himself answering those questions. And he kind of merged the two together. He zippered the two films together, and he talks to himself from
the
past.
Isn't that what everyone wants to do?
Right?
Just be like, don't be stupid.
And that's what we're going to talk about. We want to know if you could talk to yourself either in the past, like if you could tell your 18-year-old self something. I know a lot of people are going off to college. So, if you know, maybe when you were starting college or just finished up high school, what advice would you give your former self? Or we can twist it the other way. What would you ask yourself in the future if you're a little bit younger and want to know something about yourself in the future? There's something you really, really want to know. So we got a pretty packed show.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to be back with all that stuff on 720 WGN. Is this the instrumental Katy Perry fireworks song? Sounds great. It's a great start to your Friday. Esmeralda's dancing.
I always dance every time I co-host because everyone has such... put such great music on. I'm like, can we just keep doing this for half an hour?
Yeah, we should. That'll kill some time.
Dance party.
720 WGN, John Hanson here, and Esmeralda Leon filling in for Justin Kaufman until 10 o'clock tonight. And I spent my afternoon at the Cubs game, and as we talked about, I love
that
my Layers.
Like a nice...
It was really, really nice. And it was a quick game. It was great. I got to mention this, though, is that I was with a buddy who is in town from San Francisco. The Cubs are playing the Giants, and his family comes up from Springfield, where they're originally from, and they all get together. They watch the games, and they are kind enough to invite me along with them. My buddy's brother, who is a great guy, lives in the Wrigleyville neighborhood, had a shirt on today that was Hillary for Prison 2016, which I know is a popular, you know, we're not going to get into the, we're not going to dive into all that stuff. But I could not believe how many people stopped him to take a picture, to want to be with him. It was insane. We were at Murphy's Bleachers before the game started, and it was like three or four people, thumbs up, high fives. It's a very, if you were wearing a dump Trump shirt, not to throw that on you or something else, I cannot imagine a groundswell of people coming up to you.
I don't know if I would be welcome at Murphy's Bleachers with that shirt on, thinking how much the reaction for Hilly for prison.
Right. No, it was.
People
were taking pictures as if they had never seen something like that before, and how astounding. I don't know if they were just impressed by the shirt or something like that, but it was incredible.
It was great typography.
It was great. It was a good font.
It was a good design. Great.
Yeah. Like, I don't agree with that, but oh, that font and the juxtaposition of the red and the
Helvetica.
Blue.
I love Helvetica.
I mean, it was Cubs colors, so it kind of fit in very
well. Right. Maybe they didn't even see that.
Right.
They just saw blue and went, yeah, Cubs.
No Cubs. No, because my buddy's parents were wearing the Brizzo t-shirts, the Bryant and Rizzo combination t-shirt. It kind of looked like that, but it was Hillary for prison. So pretty surprised at how many people were lining up to take pictures of that. 312-901-7200 if you want to call in or text. We got a super packed show today. Have you had a good week, Esmeralda? Are you anything wild happening? Any weekend plans? I know you're going to be filling in tomorrow night as well.
I am. Yeah, that just happened.
That just happened. Very exciting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I got the call on the bat phone
mm-hmm.
to filling in with Mark Harmon, 2 to 5 Saturday night, Sunday morning, technically Sunday morning.
Well, that'd be fun.
But yeah, no. Very exciting. I will take any slot you guys give me.
That's what I say. I'm always willing to jump on in and chat with some certain things.
Exactly. But I got a barbecue going on Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to upstage everyone by making an orange dreamsicle ice cream.
Oh,
and a charred corn salad. Yeah, from scratch.
How does it go about? How does one go about doing
that? I don't know.
That? You got a plan for those sorts of things, right?
I've made ice cream before, but I haven't made this one, so we'll see how it turns out.
Is it one of the no-churn ice creams where you...
No, I have a machine.
Okay,
I have a little quart-size machine.
But it's an involved process, right?
This one kind of is, because you have to do two. That's as far as I've seen from the recipe. You do one mm-hmm. orange and then one vanilla, and you're supposed to like mix it somehow. So we'll find out.
I made ice cream once for a barbecue. I think it was 4th of July this year. But I did like one of those no churns where you just put it in a bag and you shake it for about 25 minutes. Yeah, with the ice
no,
and the salt.
I do not have the arm strength for that.
I couldn't believe, you know, obviously how cold it gets. But you're going to be the star of the party, because everyone brings, you know, a little beer or something.
Yeah.
But no one ever thinks about dessert and ice cream.
I'm bringing ice cream. Someone's bringing pie.
Okay.
So, and I was like, what can I make for your pie?
I've never been much of a pie guy, so.
Really? Are you cake?
I'll eat a whole cake.
Cake, but no pie.
Cake, no pie.
I'm fine with the pie as long as I'm not big on the crust.
On the pie crust?
Yeah.
That's the only part of the pie I like.
What? The filling.
No. Mm-mm. I can do without the filling. No, I just want the carbs. Just give me the outside of any
Someone
pie.
Someone should sell that. Just crust.
Just. It's kind of like in Seinfeld how they sell the muffin top.
Right.
Just
they
the top.
Scoop out the filling and just crust.
What? We're not good enough for the stumps? We're not good enough for the tops? We just get the stumps?
I think they actually do just sell pie crust, by the way.
Dude,
you can
I
go
mean,
to your store and just.
They sell just raw pie crust, but
right.
not like. Here, eat this. It's cooked pie crust.
What would my party at Labor Day be like if I just brought a bunch of cooked pie crusts?
Hey, guys, just bring it up.
Very
it's
brief.
Just bring your own fillings, everyone. I've got the pie crust. Use your imagination.
Oh, wait, I kind of like that.
Isn't that kind of a good idea?
A pie party.
A pie party. You do it on March 14th, like pie 3.14. Mm-hmm. And everyone brings their own pie crust. Or no, I bring all the pie crust. They bring all their fill-ins.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But cake I could eat like no one's business. The whole thing, every single day. One cake a day would be my limit. But I could do it.
Like a whole, like one of those jewel slab cakes?
I could, sure. I don't even know what that is. Is that like one
you know,
of the square
like
ones?
Big square.
See, here's my thing. So my roommate and I have very differing. We both are addicts of food, but I'm of the sweets and the cake. I could eat an entire. I could go through it no problem. There'd be a second one there, and I'd dive right in.
Oh man!
But she doesn't want to touch cake. She would prefer potato chips
yes.
or something savory. Are you a savory?
I'm with her. Yeah, I could eat all the potato chips in the world.
Mm-hmm. All of them?
Yeah. No, don't even test me.
Yeah.
Trust me. This room was filled. I could tunnel us out by eating all the chips.
Are you saying if this room was filled with chips?
I'd be like, I'm down for the challenge.
Like if this was like a Leaps and Bounds or a Discovery Zone, but instead of the little balls, it was just potato chips, you would be swimming through it.
It would be out of business because I would have eaten all the potato chips.
Okay. We're off to a rocking start here. We're learning a lot about each other.
I eat a lot of chips. You eat a lot of cake.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're going to get to the news in just a little bit, but first a quick break here on 720 WGN.
You're You're listening to 720 WGN. I'm Esmeralda Leon, and with me is, who? What's your name? What's your name, guy?
I'm John. John Hanson.
John? Oh.
I've been way more interested in the last few minutes talking to the people. I found the button to talk to the people here outside the Allstate studio.
Outside.
They're all Cubs fans, which I'm really excited about. I can't hear them back in. I know there's a button where we can hear
there
what
is.
They're saying.
That's a slippery slope.
I'm just going to project my ideas onto them. They're
just
all
go,
Cubs
hey!
Fans. They're all in from out of town, is my guess. Or from the suburbs, maybe. Nope, they're city people. They're giving me a lot of thumbs down. Okay.
A lot of yes and no, shake
right.
head.
Right, exactly. No one's taking pictures, though, because I think they came here expecting Justin, perhaps, to take a picture of the real
right.
star. And it's just two fill-ins and now three fill-ins
yeah.
here.
You can pretend that we're somebody's.
Yeah. You can
we're
pretend.
Somebody's.
We got the thumbs out for that.
There we go. Oh, they think we are.
All right, Mike Heidemann is joining us, and you made a really funny joke because you're filling in for Nick DiGilio on Sunday into Monday, right? Overnight?
Yes, that's right. Sound sessions with Kevin Richter as well.
Oh, mm-hmm. that's fun. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about pierogies, and then you, I don't mean to set this up as a funny joke, but you made a funny. You made a funny, Mike.
Well,
for a second, you almost said that you hadn't had pierogies yet.
Yeah, until I got a look at them, because in my head, they were Danish-like, and they're mm-hmm. definitely
what?
More
yes.
meat pocket-based.
Yeah. yeah. So you don't think you've ever really had them before, have you?
No, I don't think I have, but I like the fact that they're coming back into style, like especially this weekend with Pierogi Fest and everything like that.
Yeah.
Oh, Taste of Polina.
Taste of, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think or the Polish...
Polonia.
Polonia.
I don't think Polonia. The Polish people would say it's coming back in vogue. I think
they're
that
like,
it's
we've
been
eating these since the...
They're the hipster of pierogies.
Yeah. yeah.
they were doing
yeah.
it first.
I talked to like four Polish people in swagged out t-shirts today, and they said it was all coming back. So
it's all...
I think, yeah.
yeah.
It's happening now.
312-981-7200. I'm really curious now because I bet lifelong Chicagoans who've lived in the city their whole lives have had pierogies. I mean, they've got to have. Because so many... I put this on Twitter yesterday, and people were shocked by it. But now
yeah.
I'm meeting more... We're coming out of the closet, the pierogi closet, the non-pierogi closet. Here we are. We're loud, and we're proud, and we've never had pierogies.
Yeah, I have a few friends with last names ending in ski. So
right. They've had to have.
so they've introduced me to pierogies mm-hmm. and the delis and all that.
Yeah, I've got a friend, Andy Jakubowski. I bet
there
he has had some pierogi. I almost forgot the name of it. So, all right, Mike, we didn't bring you on to talk about pierogies, Mike. We're here to talk.
Really?
No, I don't, right? Well, we're doing pierogies in the next hour, so you got to stick around for that to try one. We want to get your reaction, too. No, so Labor Day is kind of the end of summer, right? And summer is known for its street festivals here in Chicago and also a lot of music about town. But just because the summer is ending doesn't mean the outdoor music awesomeness is ending, right?
Mm-hmm, that is so true. In fact, John, half of the reason I came here tonight was
mm-hmm.
to convert you
okay.
into an outdoor music festival guy.
I'm not one. I don't
yeah.
like – it's not that I don't like crowds because I like baseball games. I like hockey games. I just don't get as into it. And I think part of it is because I feel like it's just sweaty. I just feel like it's just going to be a sweaty mosh pit. I went to Riot Fest a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
and a tornado mosh pit broke out. And my boyfriend, who's 5'5", got swept away in it. And I just thought I lost him. I thought, well,
was
that's the end
cow?
Of it.
Did you see a cow just like flying
right?
away?
I just assumed he was dead. I went home and I was like, you know what? He's been swept away by a Riot Fest tornado. And then that was the last one I've been to. That was the first and the last one. But they're not all like that, right?
No, they're not all like that. Riot Fest can definitely get like that, which is actually coming up September 16th through 18th, one
mm-hmm.
of the biggest music festivals in Chicago. But you need like your festival go-to kind of list
okay.
when you're getting your preparations set almost.
Mm-hmm.
You need your water. You need.
Can you bring that stuff in? You're talking about stuff you can usually bring in with you, or that you just need to know to have ready.
Yeah, you need to know to have it ready, and of course you can bring. It depends on the festival. So
mm-hmm.
some festivals let you bring in water. Some don't. You know, you could sneak in vodka that way. So that's a big no. You
don't
do
that, kids.
I mean, I've never done that before, but I've heard these tales all the
no,
time.
No, not vodka, gin. That's what I sneak into. Just straight up gin out of a water bottle.
But
that'll
yeah.
get me to any show. That's fine. mm-hmm. I'm going now. All right, I'm in. You convinced me.
Exactly. Oh well, that was easy. Yeah, but. Like with that, you need to make sure that you're dressed comfortable. I mean, it's not a time for, you know, the sporty shoes. You
mm-hmm.
got to wear some like New Balance, Old Man, Classic, things that can get you through the day.
Mm-hmm.
So with this, let's talk a little bit about North Coast, which is happening.
Okay.
It's the big indie music tied in with folk music. And a lot of jam bands are here this year as well. There's bands like Odessa, Bass Nectar, Zed, Umphrey's McGee.
I know them.
Yeah. Sleigh Bells is playing
okay.
tonight.
Oh.
I know Sleigh Bells.
Mm-hmm, so a little bit of the indie darlings are going to be there as well as jam band and bigger name groups as well.
For someone that's listening that doesn't know what you mean by jam band, can you describe that kind of music for people? And by that, I mean me.
Well,
I mean, it's more music oriented, like long music Americana sort of songs, or what? Describe it to me.
Yeah.
Clearly, I have no idea.
One song lasts 30 minutes.
Yes.
I love how you threw in Americana. It's very, it could be very Americana. Like, think
I'm
about.
I'm so hip right now.
You are. Mm-hmm. And just think about Dave Matthews Band.
Okay.
It's the Dave Matthews Band, and everyone kind of rooted and branched off of that band. Of course, and they all branched off of the like main original band, which is probably the Grateful Dead. So
okay.
If you're into them, Humphreys McGee is, they've been around for forever. They've come to Chicago a million times. So you can do that and jam your way through. And they will not start any tornado mosh pits.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, that's more of like a swaying kind of movement.
Okay.
There's a bit of a techno element too, right?
There is.
To North Coast?
Yes. And the thing is, these EDM festivals are swallowing up, I feel, every single one of our normal festivals.
Really?
Not, no. Yeah.
Electric dance music, EDM.
Yes.
Electric dance music.
Good job.
See, I know stuff.
Well, look at Lollapalooza, what it used to be, mainly based in rock music, and now the EDM thing has just blown up. So if you want to go and check, get your EDM on, get your fist pumping on, there's Bass Nectar, Logic, Zedd's is going to be there. Action Bronson, who kind of is more rap-based, but he throws in a little bit EDM too. Galantis, and like I mentioned before, Sleigh Bells, who is getting more into EDM music if you want to get your dance on.
And when is North Coast again?
It's this weekend.
Oh, it's this weekend.
Yep, September 2nd through the
the
Sunday.
End of the weekend.
Get your old man shoes on, John. We're going to North Coast.
Can you bring a blanket? Can I bring a blanket and lay in the grass and listen to this?
Oh, you're looking for more blanket-based
entertainment. Yeah, I like anything with a blanket. Well, a good quilted blanket that I can lay down and just sit there for.
It's funny you mention that because there is, in fact, Jazz Fest, which is happening here in Chicago. Always, always popular. Headlines like Orbit Davis, the Benny Golson Quartet, John Scofield and Joe Lovano Quartet. Oh, your favorites. I mean, these... I looked
just
at John,
off my classics.
Yeah, I looked at your Jewel CD case and I saw all these bands right on the top, so don't worry.
You got me, Mike. You got me.
So if you wanted to do something more relaxing and do something very, very Chicagoan, the Jazz Fest is where you want to be, and that's happening through Sunday with performances at Millennium Park and the Chicago Cultural Center.
So that sounds
that's
nice.
Always a good time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds nice. You want to go with me, Esmeralda?
Sure.
Can we hold hands on the blanket?
Oh,
wouldn't that be sweet?
Can we bring food?
Yeah.
Since it's in Millennium Park.
Of course you can. Of course you can. Bring the wicker baskets.
Oh, we could do a little wicker basket.
Basket of pierogies.
Well, jury's out. Let's wait. Let's one step at a time here. Let me try one first.
So let's talk about the third biggest thing happening in Chicago. My third choice for tonight, which is actually the Taste of Polonia?
Polonia.
Polonia.
Polonia. Polonia. You're making it sound real fancy.
We are getting so many texts from Polish people who hate us right now.
They're
but...
like, how dare you?
Okay, so Taste of Polonia, yeah.
And this is where like Poland will give us some of the delicious and best food. I mean, deny it as you might or not even trying these pierogies. This is some of the best food that there is. And this is happening at the Copernicus Center. Very well known. They have carnival rides, a kids zone, a ton of great cuisine, Tata's pierogi. Smanskio,
there we go.
The Smanskio Deli, Heaven in My Mouth, are just a few of the vendors on the menu. Tickets are actually only $5 before 5 p.m. and $10 after, so rush on that.
And the Copernicus Center is great. It's actually at 5216 West Lawrence, so it's up
that
on the northwest
area,
side.
That
yeah.
whole area, Jefferson Park.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fun over there.
Just off the
Gale Street Inn's over there.
Oh my gosh, I heard good things about that
drop,
place.
But...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to continue with this conversation. We're going to talk more about pierogies and more music fests that are coming up, and you're going to do a little bit more convincing. I'm in on the picnic and basket.
Yeah.
That's fine, but convince me more about the tornado mosh pits, okay?
I will try.
More with Mike Heideman coming up on 720 WGN. WGN here on this Friday night. It's John Hanson here and Esmeralda Leon filling in for Justin Kaufman till 10, and then we're going to get to all your high school sports preps plus stuff.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
You had a picture once on Instagram with you with a filter with makeup on.
Okay.
And you called yourself Scarlett Johansson. Okay.
Yes.
Anytime I talk about you or I see you, that's all I think is Scarlett Johansson.
Yes. Yeah, so
I forgot to bring that up in the beginning because I wanted to be like, hey, Scarlett Johansson.
That's my drag name.
It's the best name ever.
I don't do drag. There's nothing wrong with doing drag.
Well, that picture was amazing. I was like, yes, Scarlett Johansson.
I actually did it, and I showed this to Mike as well. I actually did it on the morning show once. I put on a whole wig and everything, and that character has not been welcomed back onto the morning show. No, that was a one-time visit.
It made me download one of those apps and do it on my boyfriend.
Oh, really? Oh, he looks on the so on the Snapchat pretty. Filter, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, you look so pretty with makeup on.
Snapchat makes you look so pretty.
It does.
When it wants to. Mike Heidemann is joining us. We're talking about awesome music stuff coming up. He's trying to convince us to be music lovers. Not that we're not music lovers, but like out and about music lovers.
Just not in public.
Yeah, no, exactly. I like music when it's on my couch with a beer or a gin and tonic and no one else is bothering me. But Mike, you're here to convince me otherwise.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And well, let's move on to Saturday because I really want you to, you know, experience it. And you
wow,
can't...
you're getting me to commit to something tomorrow? Oh, God, I'm going to need to wait a moment. Okay, so what am I doing tomorrow, Mike?
So tomorrow you are going to be doing the number one choice on everyone's list should be, of course, day two of North Coast. I mean, with Bass Nectar, Logic, Claypool Lennon, Delirium, the Floozies. Again, all classic bands.
How do they come up with these names? I mean, I guess the naming of bands has always been sort of a goofy thing, but they seem to be getting stranger. Is it just because all the good ones are, or not the good ones, but all the originals are taken?
Yeah, like all the solid, like the
blanks.
That has to be the reason why. I think the craziest name that I saw in here was actually not too bad if I was going to start a band. Mm-hmm. Michael Christmas.
Michael. Is that a band or one dude?
I think it's a one dude thing.
I think
but
that's
like,
just still his name, though,
Mike. Michael Christmas. Yeah. I hope he comes out in red and green.
Oh, if he doesn't, then
wait,
you know,
is Michael Christmas playing next to Sleigh Bells? Because that works really well back and forth.
Oh, that'd be too cute.
That would be really good if they kind of did like a duo show. That makes sense. Michael Christmas opens for Sleigh Bells.
That'd
is it
amazing.
Sleigh Bells or Sleigh Ride? I forget.
It's Sleigh Bells.
Sleigh Ride is
Sleigh Ride's on Sunday.
Oh, okay, and then on Netflix later, which Blake Stubbs is going to tell us all about that. Okay, so Saturday North Coast. You listed those names. And again, North Coast is a mix of a couple different things. More of the chill out or the EDM, whatever you want to do, right?
Exactly. Music. And if you even want to just chill and just, you know, sit in like an area and listen to no music and have people around you but be in your own headspace, like what sounds like what you want to do, they have a silent disco that you can be a part of.
What?
Yeah, that's of
that
course.
Sounds kind of fun.
What do you mean? Explain that.
That's kind of the new thing. Everyone here knows all about the silent disco. I mean, that's the
she
that's
does
the thing
certainly
you want to be a part of.
She spent her 70s discoing and now she's all about the silent disco.
So this is where, of course, you put on headphones, mm-hmm. you sit with your closest friends, and a DJ will play as you're listening to their beats on your headphones in total silence.
So if you were in the room without headphones, you'd hear nothing but the rustling of the dancing.
And everyone would look like fools to you,
right?
Because they're just dancing to nothing.
Now, is that part of it, the idea that you just are lost within yourself and you just let your body go?
Exactly. I'm guessing that there's some other substance involved that would make you really get involved.
Beyond
in
a bottle of gin that I would bring.
Pierogies. There you go. It's all pierogies. It comes right back.
Right on the head there, Joey.
I like that. I like that, though, because you can turn it up. You can turn it down.
Look at they're discoing outside.
They're silent
for us.
Discoing.
Oh, wow.
Right,
they're
now.
Silent. To us, this is silent discoing.
Silent
we
disco.
Can't hear them because I don't know the button to hear them. Oh, they're doing a little electric slide.
Oh, my gosh.
Look at them.
To the music in their heads.
This just shows how alive Chicago is this weekend. I mean, it's Labor Day. People are having fun.
Everyone
line
is
dancing.
Pumped.
All right. On a count of fingers, how many drinks have you guys had tonight? How many? Six, ten, and zero.
10,
okay.
20, wow.
Our fans
party
outside.
Of, party.
Yeah, they've had a few cocktails. They're dancing out there. We got some music for you guys. Oh, they're moving on.
No, okay.
All right, so we had some silent discoers outside. So you were saying, Esmeralda.
But I like the fact you can turn it up, you can turn it down, because that's the problem at festivals. It's like, this is so loud. I need to get somewhere. And that you can have it nice and quiet.
That's cool.
Exactly. It's almost a safe zone for the concert goers because you can just take a break and be like, oh, I want to listen to music, but I don't want to get pushed into this tornado pit. So that's what you would
which, by the way, a texter said that it's called a circle pit, not a tornado pit. But tornado pit sounds way cooler.
It sounds much more BA.
Right. With respect to the people that have been victims of tornadoes, unfortunately,
right.
But it sounds really cool to get swept away.
Tornado!
Oh, but, you know, apologies to the tornado folk out there. But, you know, we are in Tornado Alley. You know, a lot of listeners, 36 states and Canada here. We got to give a shout out. But anyways, what else we got, Mike?
So in light of all the concerts and music that are going on, we also have a lot of cool classes that are happening.
Okay.
The number one choice that I'd have for this weekend on Saturday, September 3rd, would be in honor of, you know, it is Bourbon Heritage Month. And Elixir Andersonville is hosting a bourbon-inspired cocktail class from 3 to 4, so you can learn how to make a whiskey smash, an old-fashioned, a good old-fashioned tornado pit, anything you want, and tickets are only $25.
This kid will make it. That'll be your signature drink, the tornado pit.
312-981-7200. If the name of the drink was tornado pit, what would the ingredients be for a tornado pit?
That sounds awesome, though, that class, because then Labor Day, barbecue, you can show off your skills.
Right, or your lack thereof.
Make a picture of tornado pits.
So this is not are they playing music while you're doing this, or is there no music connection? You were just trying to drop some liquor class that you want to go to.
I was...
Hint,
I brought Mike in for music stuff. He's like, all right, so here's this booze class you can go to.
Well, let's take it back to the music now. Okay. After you enjoy your nice bourbon class and you're learning all these things, you can either hit up the free fitness class that's happening with Airy Real Tour, which is happening at the Petrillo Music Shell right in Millennium Park. You can do that from 3 to 9 p.m. tomorrow.
And then you can pop over to the Jazz Fest.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This is the perfect weekend. That's
Look at that.
I love it.
And then we have another group, though, that's coming to Chicago. The Epic 2-Minute Song Gods, Guided by Voices, a band that doesn't seem to die. They've broken up and gotten back together.
Guided by Voices, you know. Voices continue forever, you know. The voices in their head. What's going on?
So they're coming back to the Metro, where a lot of great shows that they've done throughout their history have been based in. And the tickets are only $36. So, I mean, if you're going to see a band,
that's not bad.
Get them before they break up again.
Yeah.
And then get back together. It'll be more expensive then.
We're going to take a break in just a second, Mike, and we got to get to news. But I just, one last thought about convincing someone to go out and experience music. In all seriousness, I bet you would advise that, you know, it's different when you're there and you can really relate to musicians when you see them and feel that vibe. I'm sure this is not breaking news to anyone that goes to concerts all the time.
Exactly.
But if someone is a little hesitant, I imagine you kind of break that wall.
Yes. The energy you feel by going to an outdoor music festival is electric. I mean, just it's so great to be around your friends and the people who are there. The ticket prices here in Chicago are very, very affordable. You can do that. You can go. The food prices are great. We have so many amazing acts. Like, the thing about living in Chicago is we have all the amazing headliners in the entire world coming to our city every single weekend. So make sure you get out at least once while the summer is nice, and be sure to listen to Sound Sessions on Monday, 2 to 5 in the morning.
You got the plug I was just going to do.
Speaking of fun, we have a text from the 630. You guys, I'm 57 years old, and I just did my first Lollapalooza this year.
Oh, cool.
It was so, so fun going to see Black Sabbath this Sunday in Tinley Park.
Oh, good for him.
So we're just old folks.
That's really
apparently.
Cool. I want to say I'm a little upset at Joey because you said it's electric, and Joey was playing the electric slide earlier, but he did not cue that up right on time. I'm sorry, Joey. Another
fired,
missed opportunity.
I'm sorry, everyone.
Exactly. All right, we got to take a quick commercial break. Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
John, Esmeralda, thank you guys so much for having me.
We'll have some pierogies for you. More on the way on 720 WGN.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. The news is sponsored by Country Financial. It's 8:01. Here's Rob
Martier.
Martier. Oh my God.
Really, Esmeralda? You didn't even know my name earlier. We're co-hosts today.
Don't feel bad about it. It happens at home all the time.
I wanted to say Martrick. I don't know why. No clue.
Here's Rob Martrick.
You know the old saying, just don't call me late for dinner, right?
Seven 20 WGN on this Friday night. Thank you, Rob Martier. Esmeralda.
This is so embarrassing. I work with him.
I know.
Every weekday.
Sometimes you just lose it.
It just brain
right.
fart.
You nailed that sponsor fart. Read, though, Esmeralda.
Yeah. Well, it was in front of me.
Exactly.
I just had to read it.
Yeah, you had written something down, but
I
just
had to
not
fill in
Rob.
The spot, and that was the no-go.
John Hanson and Esmeralda in for Justin till 10. Then we got some Preps Plus coverage coming up at 10 o'clock. Give us a text, 312-981-7200. We've gotten a lot of texts in, and I think this is a conversation that we'd love to have as many callers and texts that we can, because it's a conversation worth having. The Colin Kaepernick situation is something that has been covered and covered and covered all week long. But Evan Moore is joining us. Evan, you write for DNA Info. You write for a lot of other places. And it was an article in Rolling Stone that really caught my eye. And there's a lot of layers to what you wrote here, but a lot of it is kind of calling out the reaction that we've all had, but a lot of people have had, sports writers have had, and calling them out on some of the stuff that they've written about. Why don't you walk us through kind of maybe your initial reaction and then what brought you to write this article for Rolling Stone?
Yeah, well, I was...
I'm trying to find his microphone. I get him somewhere. Joey, do we got him? Microphone on? Just got to move it to another one? Did Mike break it? I think Mike Heidemann broke the microphone for him. I think you're ready to go.
We go.
There you go. Right. That's my fault. Let's blame me. That's fine. Yeah,
that's all good. Yeah. Well, I was kind of following things along like everyone else on Twitter, because I pretty much just look on there for my little bit of my news, and I just saw what was going on. I saw how some people were so angry. Some people were like, yeah, glad somebody said something. And And it just got crazy, and I kind of just, because when you, something like this happens, everybody and their mom is going to write about it. So you just kind of have to be that person who's going to find a particular angle, and it's something I always seen. And honestly, that's kind of one of the reasons I got involved in writing in journalism. I wanted to bring a different voice because it's all sports writing. The whole is pretty much white suburban male dominated field, and some of the takes that they took on Kaepernick and other athletes were kind of just from a place of not knowing these guys' background, how they came up, or the things they deal with. So I felt like someone who kind of has a good understanding of it was that need to write something about it.
Because these conversations are nothing new for black athletes. And I think that's something that people don't quite get. They think that this is some new thing, the stance that he's taken. But these are conversations that have been happening in athletics for decades. And even before these people become famous.
Right, because even some of the athletes I know have told me that because of what a particular writer or outlet wrote about them, they don't talk to them. There's been times where I've seen one of my colleagues in the field interviewing an athlete. They see me like, hey, they stop. They pretty leave the interview just to go talk to me. that is what it is. But, I'm not saying I'm not looking out for somebody or anything like that. I kind of understand the nuances of who they are and what it's like to, for 1 minute, go for a particular, come from a particular community. And then go to all this stuff where people's asking you for things and want you to have this particular image. And yeah, it's pretty tough for a lot of these guys.
Do you think part of the problem is that we're such a society now, and you mentioned Twitter, that's where everyone's got their take. And do you think it's because we're all expected to have a take now? Like, we all got to have that opinion that maybe the situation, if this had happened 20, 30 years ago, and it did in many different ways, of course, the 1968 Olympics, all those sorts of things, a lot of other protests along the way, that it just, we don't have to react so quickly. If we could just absorb it and have a conversation about it first, we wouldn't get such vitriol on the internet about this sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, it's always, we see that where people overreact and one person sees it, another person sees it, and kind of snowball effect. And by the time they calm down, it's not even what they were arguing about. It's pretty tough to see that, because these days some people are running right to Twitter to be the first to break a story without sometimes getting it right.
So what the headline of the article was, what white fans don't understand about black athletes. Can you walk us through I'm white here. I know you're not projecting it onto me, but what are some things that we don't get about black athletes that would help this conversation go along a little bit further?
Well, some of them come from situations where I got to put this. I guess the best thing for people to see sometimes, we're a visual society. I don't know if you ever seen the show on Starz, Survivor's Remorse. Mm-mm. You familiar with that? Well, no. Loosely based on LeBron James's life.
Okay.
And you know this from him. He took his mother along and friends he grew up with, and some people automatically throw those guys in the group of hangers-on or that's with them because of the money. And those guys don't realize what are you expecting them to do? To drop their friends and their families that because they've jumped into a higher tax bracket?
Mm-hmm.
When that happens, a lot of people like to take their friends and family because it's a comfort thing, and a lot of people don't seem to understand that.
That's interesting, because I think people say that about Derrick Rose sometimes too, that he's got this group that like surrounds him and they're doing it for all the wrong reasons, but it's just people he knew growing up.
Right. You want to, because when you come, like for instance, all of us, we know each other in the field and we want to, bring our family with a little bit and expose them to what we're able to do. That's kind of what they all do. And you kind of, fans kind of see that in shows like I just mentioned, Survivor's Remorse, and also HBO's Ballers, that's about with The Rock. And that kind of takes you into a realm where fans can kind of see what these guys go through, and they kind of understand that we kind of, don't understand that we like to project our lives onto them.
Talking with Evan Moore here of DNA Info, and wrote a great article for Rolling Stone. You can chime in at 312-981-7200. Esmeralda and I were kind of talking about this, the idea that we cheer on our athletes when they're doing exactly what we want them to do on the field. But the moment that they have their own opinions, it seems like it's disproportionately, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of people go after athletes with opinions so quickly, especially black athletes, I think. And it's almost like the moment that they do one little thing we don't like of them, we just are so quick to throw them under the bus. Do you see that a lot?
Yeah, I do. It's when they talk about social issues or different things, the first retweet is stick to sports. Like, we only want you in that realm. Just make you feel good, shoot basketball, throw a pitch, or run a touchdown. Don't talk about things that's going to make me sometimes think, or that's going to make you uncomfortable. And we've seen the backlash here with Colin Kaepernick.
What did you think about last night? So he started for San Francisco last night. His only preseason game, I think he started and played. And he took a knee instead of sitting down. Do you think that was him at acknowledging that he started a really big conversation about it and showing a little respect to the other side, or respect to veterans? Or do you think it was him kind of giving up on it? Do you think it was him trying just to save his contract, to save his butt, to stay on the 49ers? I mean, what did you take from that last night?
Well, he knew from beginning. If you've been following his Twitter account even before all this happened, he's been, you know, posting things. He's been increasingly, you know, quote unquote conscious, or what we hear people say these days, young people say woke, you know. And, it's been he's been saying things, and I think last night was him understanding how people feel and how that can make them look a certain way. Because when, you know, obviously we hear about the national anthem and some of the controversy with a part of it that we don't recite at games, and also about what he, you know, what he said, and a lot of people are like, oh, now this guy hates cops, and now he hates the military, and he explained himself pretty good, like, you know, what he's said some things in this country that are wrong, and that was his way to going about it. Because most of the critique of him was like, he should have did it another way. When someone says that, you're just kind of like, well, what way is...
Right. Well, because it started such a conversation, so when someone says, why didn't you do it differently, it's because maybe it wouldn't have started the conversation that got started because of the way he did it. Like, what else are you supposed to do? There's certainly ways you could do it, but everyone always says, I wish he did it another way, and then offered no other explanations. All right, Evan, can you stick around for a little bit? All right, we're going to take a quick break here on 720 WGN. Here on this Friday night. Talking a little bit slower here for you, Esmeralda.
Thanks.
We're talking with Evan Moore, who wrote a really interesting piece for Rolling Stone, What White Fans Don't Understand About Black Athletes. Of course, talking about the Colin Kaepernick situation. I've heard this discussion a lot, Evan, the idea that since he's rich now, he should be grateful for being so rich, and that he's somehow lost his card to be able to wave about being a black athlete in America. Obviously, I think you would take offense to that. Oh, you got to hit that microphone again, buddy. We're putting you to work here.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, because it's interesting. In the article, I gave a few examples of rich athletes who had to go through the same stuff. And the one I mentioned was Cam Chancellor. He went to a gym. He was interested in buying in, and people saw him inside and called the police. And earlier that year, he signed a contract extension for $28 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then also this stuff happens more than most people realize, because it's hard for some people to talk about, because it's someone that's famous. And you know, from some of the articles and stuff I read and the tweets, and some people seem to believe that when you move into a higher tax bracket, you're a black athlete, that no one's not going to, you know, use those words to say those things about you. Well, it's pretty clear that people say those things.
As if you've forgotten what growing up like that was like. You know, like, you don't forget that when you get money all of a sudden. And all of a sudden, you shouldn't be entitled to, or you shouldn't be required to all of a sudden embrace everything about your country just because you happen to benefit from the country that you live in. I don't know. I was going to ask also, you've kind of talked about, I follow you on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle, by the way? Let's give you a shout out.
At Evan F. Moore. So if
there you go.
Want to say hello or yell at me, that's where I'm at.
Well, that's what I wanted to say, is that you've gotten a lot of pushback on this article. We've almost, again, we got all these hot takes we got to give. So you just offering your opinion, offering the messenger here for this story, and you've gotten a lot of pushback, right?
Oh, yeah, I've gotten a lot of pushback also. You write something that's as polarizing as that, you're going to get some people who are going to love it. You're going to get some people who are going to hate it. So, yeah, definitely I've gotten some interesting tweets and stuff like that. And, you know, just people that's saying all types of things. And you can see from what they said. And honestly, the litmus test for me was, well, you know, on Facebook, when you tag your friends on things, mm-hmm. and my friends tag my articles. And I was looking on their page just to look to see what people were saying. And from what I saw, they pretty much proved Colin Wright, you know,
right.
Like about people were, the whole thing is basically, we're talking about freedom of speech. This guy exercises that right. Now you're mad at him for mm-hmm. something he's allowed to do.
Do you respond to when someone tweets to you something, or when you see those Facebook messages, do you respond to them?
Yeah, against my wife's wishes, yeah, sometimes. I read it. I honestly got to her not to read it sometimes because it gets kind of crazy. And there's been times where I've been threatened. I've been written racial slurs or people say they're going to beat me up and stuff like that. But
news alert, they're not going to beat you up, Evan. No.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things where, you know, someone, you know, obviously sees me and, you know, and it happens sometimes when I'm out with family or something, somebody recognizes me or something like that. And but other than that, it's been really nothing has happened. But it's kind of strange how you just kind of see all this stuff. You hear about what happens with female sports writers, mm-hmm. like Judy DeCaro mm-hmm. and people like that. You're just kind of like, man, that's what's wrong with these
that's
people,
crazy.
Man? Like, just, you didn't even know this guy. Like,
well, that's what I wonder. Like, have we started a conversation that is going to be beneficial in the long run? Like, discord and disagreement is fine, even if it does border on disrespectful. If at least we start talking about what we really feel, I feel like there can be some positive movement forward. Do you see that? Do you see people at least open to the idea of having this conversation? Or is it so one-sided we're in our own echo chambers that no one even seems willing to at least entertain the idea that what he's doing is okay and those sorts of things? What do you get from that?
Well, it's also always going to be people, you know, no matter what, they're going to believe what they believe. But also, you saw this hashtag I mentioned in the article, the Veterans for Kaepernick. These were not only black veterans, white veterans, Latino veterans, people that understood what he was trying to do, because you see what the main critique of these folks were. Oh, you're disrespecting military veterans. Well, military, a lot of them came out in support of him.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say to those guys? You know? Yeah.
No, I mean, they came out because that's what they, you know, it's interesting. I was taking an Uber ride up to Wrigley Field today, and I had a driver. He was a retired cop, and he fought in Vietnam War, and he was black, and he brought up the Colin Kaepernick thing because we started talking back and forth. I didn't know if I wanted to touch it. You know, it's an Uber driver. I don't want to bother his day with it. But he asked me about it, and then I, you know, kind of shot back at him, and he said, look, I'm kind of attacking it from all angles. As a cop, a black cop, and a Vietnam veteran. And he brought up the point that a lot of people have brought up. He's like, look, we went overseas to fight not for someone to have to stand up for this anthem, but for the exact things that Colin Kaepernick are doing, agree or disagree, respect the right of him to do that. And that's actually one thing that bothers me, too. I think a lot of people say, well, I get that he has the right to do it, but he shouldn't. What's the difference?
That means you recognize that he can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, what's the big deal? And I think you kind of touch on that at the end of it, is that at the end of the day, you say no laws were broken, nobody was hurt. He was exercising his right to get some peace of mind. And I'm not trying to say that the anthem isn't an important thing. It's an important thing to a lot of people. The flag is as well. But at the end of the day, this was a very peaceful way to start a conversation.
Right. Right after the game, he explained why he did and what he did. And even after the game yesterday, he went into further detail about donating money to different causes and things of that nature. And he went in, he talked about the military, how some of these guys come back with mental health problems and can't get jobs and stuff like that. You can take a trip down to the VA hospital on Damon. You can see for yourself all those homeless veterans hanging out. So you can see there's a disconnect there. So it's proof in what he was and what he was saying. And he went into further detail to explain what he's trying to accomplish.
331 chimed in. They asked if we could ask you about the Castro shirt, because he was wearing a pro-Castro shirt. Then there was also the images of him wearing the socks that had the pig with the police hat on it. Do you think that sort of stuff does distract from what he's doing, or do you think that's just still part of, you know, who he is speaking up?
Well, he's worn those socks before, and mm-hmm. he's not stood at National Anthem before, too, and that's kind of got lost in all this. But he's a someone that obviously believes he's obviously went into this thinking about it, and he's done this stuff for a while, and all of a sudden we're collectively outraged about it. But he's been doing this stuff for a while, and I guess it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, how the people tell these athletes stick to sports, you know, like just entertain me, you know, but don't make me think. It's kind of this weird dichotomy that we put these people through.
Evan Moore, who you can follow on Twitter, Evan F. Moore, right, on Twitter. Great stories on DNA Info, this one and the Rolling Stone. Thanks so much for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Got a quick break, and then we're going to eat pierogies, right, Esmeralda?
Yeah.
Are you so excited about pierogies?
Yes.
All right, more on the way here on 720 WGN. Is this Polish music?
Oh, my God.
Here we go. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
I'm sure you will hear this.
Okay.
Yes. Taste of Polonia.
720 WGN, John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon. You like Leon.
I mean, whatever.
Right. Because I don't speak Spanish.
I don't care. Either you can say it either way. It cracks me up when people are like, that's not how you say it to me. And I'm like, I can say it however I want to say it.
Uh-huh. Okay, so pierogies are something I know that word. I know it.
Yes.
If I had to pick a pierogi out of a lineup, though, between other like toasted ravioli,
they do,
pot
they,
stickers, I
yeah,
wouldn't be able to do
they
it.
They do a little. They do look a little pot sticker-esque.
Okay. So Taste of Polonia, what is that? That's just a big Polish festival, right, on the northwest side.
Essentially. There's going to be music. There's going to be food. And it's not just pierogies. They're going to have like kielbasas and mm-hmm. a lot of sausage. In the Polish community.
So earlier in the week when we were going through what we're going to talk about on the show, that was like your first suggestion.
I always go food. I was like, what can we eat?
Stephanie's like, you guys are going to be filling in together. And before that email was even sent, you replied all with pierogies. And
I was like, hey, there's Taste of Polonia, there's Polish pierogies. Come on.
So I have never had a pierogi, and you were shocked by this, and then doubly shocked when Joey has never had any
pierogies. Yeah, I'm just amazed. But you guys, are you from here?
Yeah, I'm from Downers Grove, so that's not really from here, but it's from the suburbs.
But you're from
yeah.
the Chicagoland area.
Yeah.
So I'm amazed that you have never encountered.
We're Norwegians.
A pierogi in your mouth.
We don't. That sounded so dirty. I've never encountered one. No. I've never gone for one. I've never just happened to have one in my mouth. No. Because I don't think Norwegians, we don't really have like a special food.
You
we
have
do.
A lutefisk.
Don't even know what that is.
Isn't that a thing?
We honor
it's
none
Swedish,
of our.
I think.
We honor none of our nationality.
Lutefisk. It's made with some weird poison.
Okay.
I'm not joking. Well, it is, but it's not poisonous.
Okay. So I'm looking. Yeah. Great, Esmeralda. No. All right, so I'm looking at a pierogi. I'm now holding it in my hand. This isn't very visual. Obviously, we're a radio station, but we're going to all try
but
these.
But the sounds of your your mms are, oh, God.
So they're like pot stickers. They're a little moist. And what do they have inside of them? Because
it's either pork and beef,
okay,
sauerkraut and mushroom, and then there's ones that you can tell they're kind of purpley red. Those are cherry. There's cherry inside.
Okay, so a little sweet.
Yes, and then they have onions and bacon on top, and then on the side there's some sour cream if you want
to. Aren't there supposed to be some with cheese?
You can do some with. There was a lot to choose from.
I cannot believe you didn't bring the cheese one.
I didn't know you were such a dairy fan.
Look at me. How can you not look at me and say that guy likes cheese? That guy, yeah, he doesn't like cheese.
By the cheese curds hat you were wearing, I should have known.
Okay, so Joey, are you excited to try one? What are we going to try first? I can kind of see inside this one. It looks like the cherry one, right?
Oh, you're going sweet first? That's interesting.
Okay, fine. I'll go a different one. My gosh, I'm just trying them for the first time, and you guys are yelling at me. I want to hear from other people, too, by the way. 312-981-7200. Are we ridiculous that we've never had pierogies, or have you never had pierogies either? I just want to hear from
Evan,
people.
Evan, have you eaten yours yet?
Yeah. Evan, you got to turn on that microphone again, man.
You have to do work. Sorry.
Evan's still hanging out with us. Have you ever had a pierogi, Evan?
Yeah, I had one before. This one's pretty good.
This
Which
one that
did
you've
you
had?
Eat?
We were supposed to eat them together.
Oh,
I had one. Oh, I didn't. I know it was supposed to be one of those things.
Evan's just eating all our food. We had a spread
it's
here.
Okay.
He's having some pizza. Okay, so we're going to dive into one of these, all right?
Here we go.
All right, here we go. Let's eat this pierogi. You want to put on the pierogi music again for the eating of the pierogies?
Mm-hmm. I got to find it, though.
Is this beef or something in this one?
One is pork and beef.
This is really good.
Yeah, see?
This is pretty good.
It's in a
nice
pillow of meat.
A meat pillow.
It's a meat pillow.
That's so good. Okay.
Could you imagine if it was a size of a pillow, and then you would lay your head down, and you wake up, and you'd be hungry, and you just take a bite out of your pillow. It'd be a little greasy, but that's okay.
You are speaking every language to me. One time, Esmeralda, I wanted to eat something right when I woke up, so I brought the crock pot in the bedroom with me.
Oh, God.
And I heated up a cheese dip overnight next to my bed on the nightstand.
How far is your kitchen?
It's about 30 to 40 steps.
Wow.
Clearly way too many. So I brought a bag of chips into bed with me just so I could wake up the next morning, open the bag of chips, open the crock pot, and take a nice little dip out of that. See? I like
that's,
my cheese.
I mean, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I don't know if I would go that route because I would think you might burn yourself.
Cooked overnight. It was wonderful. Is that weird?
No.
I could burn myself.
Fine.
Yeah, if I had knocked it over.
Did you at least have a plate or you just were
no, I just dove right
adept
in.
In
right.
cheese dipping?
This was some, Joey would know this. We went to the University of Illinois. It's unofficial. The drunken festival, unofficial. I don't know if you ever partaked in that.
It was an event I may have seen once or twice.
Did you drink? It's not on a St. Patrick's Day used to fall under spring break,
mm-hmm.
so University of Illinois would have an unofficial party where you drink at like 6 in the morning on a Friday. So I decided to drink and have some cheese dip. Okay, I'm going to try another one.
Who doesn't?
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, this one's good too.
What do you got in there?
I don't know what's inside this
one. Is it kind of sour?
It's a little sour.
Sauerkraut. Sauerkraut and mushroom.
That makes sense. Oh, I don't like mushrooms. Okay, I'm going to throw that one down.
I shouldn't have said that.
I would have never known. Okay.
Oh, you're one of those people.
Mm-hmm. All right, number three now. Joe, are you trying these along too here?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, Joey, what are you eating?
Mm-hmm. I had the sauerkraut and the meat one. Mm-hmm. They were good. But now is it time for dessert? Do I go to cherry or do I finish the other one?
Let's go to dessert. What do you say?
Go for it.
You're not. Did you? Are you eating?
I didn't get it. I gave mine to.
You're sweet.
I've had pierogies, so it's not.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying the cherry one.
Right
you
now. All eat. Enjoy.
Oh, that's really good. Okay, but here's the thing. Much like the pie crust, I need the pillow. I don't need the stuffing.
Really?
Just boil this up, and I'll just eat the carbs.
They also fry them. So someone texted in from the 815 says my mother-in-law used to make pierogies, but she would make the handmade, then she would fry them up. And they were delicious.
Oh, that sounds really good, too.
Yeah.
There's fried ones?
Because then they'd be crispy.
Mmm. This is so good.
Because these are soft and pillowy.
They should have a pierogi fest where you bring your own stuffing.
Oh, I see.
Right.
They do. It's in Indiana.
No, you... Really?
Yeah, Whiting, Indiana, pierogi fest.
Okay.
It already happened, though. So.
Okay, well, it's already over. But no, you could bring your own stuffing, and then you boil it. Because it can't take that long to make them once you stuff them, right?
No, they take a few minutes. When I was over there, they made them fresh.
Right. You know, I think I'm going to do that overnight one night. I'm going to put these right next to the bed. I'm going to get a boiling pot of water and just throw them in so I can wake up. Because, you know, I wake up about 3:30 in the morning every day and just have a boiling
pot. Just wake up a little bit before.
Right.
Pull a Michael Scott from the office. Wake up a little bit before. Turn it on to boil and then throw them in. Go back to sleep.
Okay. So you were mentioning lutefisk, which is some Norwegian thing. We have a caller who's going to explain it to us.
Yes, explain.
All right. So, Matt, you know what lutefisk is, right?
Hi, guys. Yeah, you guys are doing a great job filling in for
Thanks, buddy.
I don't know. We're just eating pierogies here. We're not really doing too much. Yeah. So what is this thing? What is this, lutefisk?
Okay. So it's fish. It's normally haddock or maybe halibut.
Mm-hmm.
It depends. You can change it up a little bit. What they do, they prep it, they season it, and then they throw in lye.
See?
Now, lye.
Poison.
Wasn't lye with... Isn't that
you
what
make soap with lye?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very.
Yeah, you can really burn yourself with it.
Have you burned yourself with it?
No.
Okay.
That's what they use in Fight Club.
To make lye at home. But they soak it in lye, then it goes through obviously a vigorous cleaning process.
I hope so.
They cook it up just a smidge, and then they serve it to you.
Matt, are you Norwegian?
Not in the slightest.
Do you like lutefisk?
I love... I'm a bit of a foodie, so I do like interesting things. I do like lutefisk. It actually tastes kind of nice.
All right. All right, Matt. Hey, thanks for the call.
As long as you don't think about the fact that you're actually eating something that's soaked in lye, you're fine.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I find that with most things. If you don't think about... Like the mushroom thing. I didn't know there were mushrooms the moment you mentioned it. I spit it out on the microphone and threw it on the ground. Because it was gross. Hey, Matt, thanks for the call.
Yep. Have a good weekend, guys. Happy holidays.
This is an interesting conversation now that I got to know about because every nationality probably has like that little thing that no one has maybe heard of. I think everyone's heard of pierogies, but lutefisk I never heard of. So if you've got one from your nationality, give us a call 312-981-7200 or text it on in. We want to hear about the strangest delicacy you've ever had that is maybe tied to your nationality or you've had it when you've gone abroad. I want to hear about some wacky ones because I'm not a foodie, so this is going to open my eyes.
Oh, perfect. And this is the best time for me to pitch my restaurant, if anyone, any donors, called Stuff It.
Stuff It.
Where I would just sell from around the world things that you stuff, like dumplings, pot stickers, empanadas, anything you could think of that would be stuffed like in a pocket of some sort.
If we were
it
a
would
Patty
be at Stuff It.
If we were on Patty's show, I have a joke there. I'll tell you during the break.
Oh, great.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, eat it, stuff it.
Eat
it. Would be great. The shirts would be amazing.
It kind of sounds like what I was advocating with the pierogies. You just stuff it with stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so if anybody, come on.
All right. So thumbs up on pierogies. We want to hear from you, 312-981-7200, about the weirdest thing you've ever eaten, a national delicacy or something like that. Quick break. Back on just a few on 720 WGN. Getting me in the mood for Friday. Esmeralda's dancing away.
Friday dance music.
Oh, man. I wish I could pretend that I was going out to some hot club after this. I'm going to club bed and I'm going to make a cheese sauce right next to it. You don't think that is that weird?
I just love that you've done that.
I do a lot of weird things.
That's cool though.
The crock pot right next to the bed. I mean, it cooks.
Was
and
it
then,
a tiny crock pot?
Yeah, it was okay, one of the smaller ones.
But I'm imagining like an enormous.
Okay, but everyone loves waking up to the smell of coffee, blah blah blah. But how about a good cheese sauce
just
to wake
cheddar.
You? A good smoked. Cheddar to wake you up in the morning. This isn't Justin Kaufman, as you can tell. This is not the download. John Hanson here with Esmeralda Leon. We got a few pierogi responses, by the way. The 713 kind of explains the background of pierogies, and the reason for it is that you didn't want to waste leftovers. So whatever leftovers you had, you would stuff in a pierogi.
That sounds like a good way to use leftovers, honestly.
Stuff it.
See?
Then that restaurant could do that. They could just
that
would team
be
up
low
with,
waste.
They could team up with the restaurant next door, whatever it might be.
Just give me whatever your leftovers are.
Whatever you got. We're going to stuff it and sell it to these
idiots.
Or
I would do like a food truck or a stand and just, you know, after the restaurant closes, I make them. And then the people who are coming out of bars and stuff, here you go. Stuff it.
Stuff it. 773 says the Irish eat black pudding, which is a blood sausage. That's interesting.
Just I've had bloody, that before.
Yeah, is it How just a bloody it? Sausage?
It's weird. It's like you think it's a sausage, but it doesn't taste like one. It's just it's big in Spain too. It's a very odd.
I've had one too.
Meat.
It's a weird consistency, right?
Yes.
Crumbly.
Yeah.
It's not like just a sausage that's like juicy, like the blood juicy.
Right.
It's like a whole different.
It's cooked. Yeah,
type of meat.
The blood is cooked.
Yeah.
So it just kind of crumbly.
Yeah. 847 says your slogan for stuff, it could be, we know stuff.
Oh.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm actually about to reveal something. My roommate's going to kill me when she finds out that I told you this. Someone's going to steal this idea. She has an idea for a little pastry shop that you'd have to open on our in the state for our neighbors to the north in Wisconsin called Wisconsin with all scones.
She could be next door to stuff it.
Exactly. Anything that didn't make its way onto the Wisconsin makes its way into a stuff it. Okay. That's really interesting. So Wisconsin, Pierogi Fest, someone wanted to know, 815, where is it at? It's at the Copernicus Center, right?
Copernicus Center. So it's Jefferson Park. It is...
Yeah, it's
Copernicus Center. What you have?
It's like
the
Lawrence,
earlier.
Just west of the Kennedy.
If you know where the Jefferson Park Blue Line, that big hub... You won't miss it because they're taking up that whole area.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take, Lawrence Bus, Jefferson Park. So you don't even have to drive.
Your traffic reporter's
perfect.
Coming out, Esmeralda.
I know.
Give us the traffic report over to Taste
Streets
of Polonia.
Lawrence. And
So we're talking about weird foods. Not weird. I don't think pierogies are weird, but maybe things that you've tried.
Out of the ordinary.
Out of the ordinary. And I feel like each country probably has one, except for ours. I mean, what would be America's weird thing?
For other countries, I think it's weird that we cover things in cheese.
Oh, my God.
Or that we fry
if that's
cookies.
Weird, if that's weird, I don't want to be normal. Like, I don't. Fried Oreos are amazing.
Yeah, like, I'm sure some people are like, what is going on with that?
So, basically, the only thing that America does that's weird is fry everything and eat way too much.
Yeah, I think we don't really have anything that's...
Right.
Extraordinary from other countries, you know, like everyone has this stuff.
Right.
We just make it 10 times bigger.
We take your weird food and we fry it and make it giant and make it in bed next to you so you can wake up the next morning and have it.
So
all right, Susan's on the line. Susan, you got a weirder, a different food that's tied maybe to a nationality, Susan?
Well, it's not a nationality, but it's tied to a region. If you go in the UP, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, they sell stuffed. It's called pasties.
Pasties?
Yeah, that's a British thing, too.
Is it? Yeah, because, you know, you take whatever, they have different kinds, and they're in a pocket, you know, and you can get them all over the UP. I think only, you've heard of those? Have you ever made those?
No.
I wish I could go to
Polonia. I've seen them. They're like Hot Pockets.
Yeah, they're
but
like
better.
I guess Hot Pockets, but, and there's all different kinds, and I think it's probably the same thing, you know, they took the leftovers and, you know, back in the day. But I wanted to know about, are you going to talk about the stuffed cabbage? And I do make stuffed cabbage.
Ooh,
Okay.
Yeah. And with the tomato sauce. But I'm by myself now. You know, we make a 13-by-9-inch pan of stuffed cabbage.
No, that's it sounds like stuffing things is such a good... Would you go to the restaurant Stuff It if Esmeralda opened it?
Now, where is it? In Downers Grove?
Oh, no. That would be a great place for stuffing, though.
This is where this yeah, restaurant
this is.
This is
in her dreams. She wants to have a restaurant.
Oh, yes, I would love to go there. Yeah.
I could hire you, Susan, to make the stuffed cabbage.
Oh, and then I make cabbage and apples. You know, I made my cabbage and apple where you have a red cabbage and mm-hmm. apples.
Mm, all right. And, sounds lovely.
And then those are a good side with pork chops. Oh. Have you heard
oh,
of those?
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of pork chops, yes. I have. Yes. All right. So Susan's going to be your first executive. Susan, thanks so much for the call.
Oh, thank you. I'm enjoying the program.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. We're going to Tyler. Tyler, you have some bohemian dish that's a little bit out there, right?
Yeah. Huh?
Hello, yes. Tyler. Yeah, you're on the air. What's the bohemian dish you want to talk about?
Well, I don't know maybe all the steps to it, but the basic points of the dish is you take a really good cut of pork, and then you pickle it in like a pickle jar.
Ooh,
with pickle juice.
Pickled pork.
And you bury it for like 48 hours.
Oh, boy.
Like in the backyard?
I don't know. It was kind of a gypsy dish. You made it on the go.
Okay.
In a hole on the go.
Who's got a hole on the go? It sounds like a chipmunk thing.
Yeah, right? Like squirrel, you hide it away and then you come back. You remember that it's there.
You cook it up for like 12 hours in a crock pot and it should like fall apart. And you spread it on a bread dumpling.
Mm.
It kind of sounds corned beef-esque.
Yeah.
Is that just me? Because...
with qualities pertaining to corned beef, yes.
Yeah, because the corned beef, whatever the spices are, a bit mm-hmm. pickle-esque.
Interesting. Do you know what it's called, Tyler?
Shvichkova.
Shvichkova.
Good job. Sure.
All right, Tyler. Hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right,
I would eat that.
Yeah, right. Brian has one. Tacos. I mean, tacos. Tacos aren't the unusual
tacos.
One. What country are those from, Brian? No. But what are these tacos that you have, Brian, that are different?
They're lingua tacos.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I like myself a lingua taco.
What's a lingua taco? Yeah.
The cow tongue.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
No, it's good, though. Yeah, don't judge it. It's not like they give you a whole tongue. They chop it.
I remember my mother making it for me when I was younger, and I didn't want to eat it.
Right.
I knew it was good. And tried it, and it's the most delicate, flavorful piece of meat you can get.
Brian, did you not want to eat it because you knew the cow it came from?
No.
She went out in the back.
It's spot.
You can see on some of the pieces, you can see the taste buds on.
She went back with her shovel. She buried her bohemian dish, then took out a knife, cut off the cow's tongue, and made you a lingua tacos. Yeah, you know, it's one of those things probably, Brian and Esmeralda, where if you try it and you're like, oh, that's really good, don't even tell the person what it is.
Yeah, I go by the thing, if it looks good, I'll eat it.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, Brian, thanks so much. Oh, go ahead.
Esmeralda, mm-hmm. You also just announced my restaurant idea to the world.
That was your idea?
What?
Mine was going to be called Duh.
Yeah, well, I added it.
Yeah. Brian, I don't mean to bring you down, but stuff isn't cool. Stuff it is way better. I'm sorry, Brian. All right.
It was a better name. I'll agree.
Absolutely.
Have a good one,
guys. Yeah, thanks so much for the call. We didn't get a chance to go to Cindy, but I think she was going to say pasties too, as well, from the UP, which is another one. We got a 773. Oh, this is good. This isn't about the food, but the 773 wants to open a restaurant called Peckers and just have hot male waiters.
I think there's
which
a
I'm
place
about.
That exists.
Is it called Peckers?
It's some sort
something
of innuendo,
like that. Yeah,
and
something.
There's male waiters and stuff.
Well, they've got what? They've got Hooters for women. They've got Twin Peaks, I know, is an East Coast restaurant that has for the women, obviously. And Peckers for men. That sounds fine.
Oh, it's...
What, did you look at... Can you say it on air?
I mean, it's a restaurant.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Tallywhackers?
Tallywhackers. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
It's an all-male Hooters.
I've been to Tallywhackers, but it wasn't a restaurant. Okay. So the 708 also chimed in that we're mispronouncing pierogi.
Oh, boy.
They're not pierogi. They're pronounced pierogi.
Okay.
You can,
pierogi.
If you can roll the R, it helps. Can you roll your R's? Oh. I'm sure you can, right? Was that offensive for me to say
no,
that?
No, I can, but I don't. Pierogi.
Okay. That sounds right.
See, and I have to throw an X in the whole thing. Pierogi.
And the 616 says they're so glad that we're not pierogi virgins anymore. Esmeralda wasn't, but
I wasn't.
But you weren't. You,
for a while.
Girl, you have not. You prom night, you had that pierogi. You took six pierogies.
I had a bowl of pierogies.
You went to the dance and you just brought home some, you stuffed it. That's where stuff it comes from.
I love a pierogi.
Did you go to your mom the next morning? Mom, I got to tell you something.
Mom, I ate pierogies.
I stuffed it.
stuffed it.
Someone stuffed it. What? Oh, it was pierogies.
Pierogies.
Yeah, absolutely. all right, the 312, the last one here, I can't even pronounce this. A German ravioli that's really big ravioli stuffed with different meats. It's sometimes served with a broth. Can you say this?
Oh, gosh.
Malteschen.
Yeah, you
just there gotta you say
go.
It with that German
Malteschen.
Malteschen. And it's served with a broth. It's another good regional dish.
Oh, that sounds good.
I'll ask my dad about that. There's some German in our family. I'm sure he would know. This has been fascinating. I love how you start with something, you know, and it was so great having Evan here talking about the Colin Kaepernick thing.
Yes.
But as soon as we got to stuffed foods, that's when everyone's like, let's chat about
this
that.
This is where I shine.
With stuffing and with sconsons. Okay, I'm going to have to answer my roommate. All right, we've got to take a quick break here on 720 WGN. More on the way.
And it feels so good.
Feels so good talking with you, Esmeralda. This is fun.
Same, likewise.
We're having a good time here on this Friday night. There are tons of people walking around. I think that, obviously in the summer people walk around, but I think that this first wave of like non-humid summer night, I mean, everyone has like little jackets they're wearing.
Yeah, no, my hair doesn't look like I'm wearing a helmet.
It doesn't.
I can attest to that.
Yeah, you can go to the live stream just to see for yourselves, folks, Esmeralda's hair. To wrap up what we were doing before we get to Blake Stubbs. Blake Stubbs. We have a nickname for him, and I thought I said it, but I didn't. I said the real name. Whew, phew, that was a close one. Okay. Someone said, have you had beef brain hard tacos? Have you had those, Esmeralda?
I've had not hard tacos, but in a soft
I don't think that
tortilla.
Was the crux of
but yes,
what was
I've
weird
had a
about
beef brain taco.
I think that's the... No, I didn't have a hard
How
taco.
How dare you, hard tacos.
And then you mentioned also, and this is not to throw you under the bus, but you haven't had this, but you'd be willing to try it. What do you call it?
Rocky Mountain oysters.
Which to me, I'm like, oh, that must be something from the sea. And it's not.
No, it's either bull, pig, or sheep testicles that are fried.
Delicious.
Look, right?
Hey, if they're fried, I'm in. That's one of those things. Don't tell me.
So when you look it up, a picture of them, they just look like fried oysters.
That's all they
look. I mean, I'm assuming that's where the name comes from, Rocky Mountain oysters. But yeah.
I want to know, has anyone, 312-918-1-7200, text us in if you've ever eaten testicles.
You can fry up a shoe and I would eat it.
That is absolutely true. You can put a shoe in a crock pot full of cheese next to my bed and I'm going the next morning at it. That's a perfect transition to Blake Stubbs. Blake's out of California, longtime friend of myself. Blake, how you doing, buddy?
Doing all right. You guys are getting a little bit better weather than I am right now, even though I'm in California. Your temperatures look great, and I'm a little jealous. Not going to lie.
Yeah, we feel terrible for you, Blake.
What do you have over there?
Yeah, what is the weather like over there?
I live in the land of like 100 degrees typically right now, around this time of year. And then, again, I'm new out here, so this is new for me. Mm-hmm. But while we don't have humidity, dry heat is the talk of the town. And actually, nobody talks about it. They just, they all sweat and stare at each other. And it's a little awkward. But, I was looking, because you guys were talking about the weather as I was connecting. And I was like, wait a minute, what is it right now in Chicago? And I thought, oh, I'm so jealous. 70 degrees. That'd be the dream at the moment. But we've had a heat wave. It's been a bad heat wave out here.
Yeah,
I don't envy you at all.
Yeah,
dissipating.
But I will feel I will not feel bad for you come December and January. Okay, so Blake, we've been talking about things to do on Labor Day weekend. Oh, it's so great to get out to the music festivals and the barbecues. But what do we all, a lot of us, really want to do, at least for one day of the long weekend, is to sit on the couch, right?
Exactly. You want to binge a show.
Yeah,
you want to. This is the time. You've been working hard. This is your weekend. You finally have the time to do it.
This is your time. Yeah. Go ahead, Blake.
I was just going to say, with all these different streaming platforms out there now, no one has an excuse on this weekend not, if they have a day just to themselves, to catch up on something for the water cooler on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah, so, and we want you to chime in, because I don't know if you're like this, Esmeralda, have you like Netflix and Hulu and stuff?
I have, yes.
So when I am starting to either watch a new show or I want to find a new movie, it's like daunting. I don't even know where to begin with Netflix. And I'm glad they have so many choices, but I kind of just sit there and I scroll forever.
Exactly. No, I can't. I have sort of the opposite. There's so much that people recommend, and I don't know what to watch within that.
Okay, so you actually have a list.
Where I'm like, I don't know where to start.
Yeah, I don't even know where to begin with things. So if you have a show that you've watched on Netflix recently and you want to let us know what it's all about, 312-981-7200. We're looking for recommendations. So, Blake, when we're talking movies or TV shows on the platforms, what are some can't-miss and great options for you here?
Right now, the biggest things I can give you, a great one for Hulu, a great one for Amazon Prime, and there's always a plethora of choices for Netflix, just because Netflix is sort of the broader platform. They're producing more content. The other outfits are starting to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little ahead of the game.
All right, so let's start with Netflix.
If you're on Netflix right now, if you haven't seen Stranger Things, it's only 8 episodes. Everyone's talking about it. I almost feel sorry for you, but this is your weekend to make it right. Tune in and watch that. If you're a fan of Stephen King, if you love the Goonies, if you love the 80s, if you love what it was like to be a kid and go on adventures in your head and everything, well, this time, all of this is wound up in this show. And you've got great performances from Winona Ryder. You've got all of the kids. And look, I'm a person who knows actors' names. I'm still memorizing all these kids' names. But every single one of these kids is excellent. You're not going to be tuning in to watch child actors who can't act. They're all outstanding.
I can actually
set yourself and watch that show.
I can second what you're – Esmeralda, have you seen Stranger Things?
I haven't.
Oh, okay.
But everyone and their mom tells me I need to see it.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I don't like normally fantasy. I don't like monsters. I don't like –
You're not the biggest.
I'm not like it, but I was hooked. And I think, Blake, it's because – of that 80s vibe that it has. It's a different way of telling stories. Or it's an old way of telling stories. Kind of the 80s and the feel of it. The music's so great. The title sequence is so great. You really get sucked into it.
It transports you. It does what a show of its ilk should do 100% all the way, and it does it excellently. And that is, it transports you to a time where you probably, most of the people I know, at least, that talk about this show, they grew up during this era. You know, if you love the era of, like, when E.T. got made, back when they, you know, didn't really have super special effects. There were just a few digital items, and then, you know, the rest of it was all practical. They made this show with the exception of you know, the I don't want to give the name away, but the scary element of the show. Aside from that, everything's done practically, and it looks excellent. Every part of the show, you're just going to feel engrossed from start to finish.
312-981-7200, text or call us. What are you binge-watching this weekend if you're going to? Blake, all right, so what else we got for this weekend if you've got – and that's the last thing about Stranger Things. You can watch it in 8 hours. It's really not that long.
Right,
so,
correct.
We still got to fill up the rest of the day.
We still got 16 more hours to binge. Okay, Blake, what else we got?
Well, up next on Netflix, I would go with – it would be a good time if you haven't started, and I am amongst – this group of people, so I'm not calling anybody out here, but Narcos is a show that I just missed the first season of. Netflix just dropped the second season within the last 2 days. And so now, like, I think season one, this is my binge weekend. I'm going to tune in and watch Narcos from start to finish. And that's about Pablo Escobar and the Medellin cartel and, you know, the agents that tried to take him down. And I guess in the whole hype for this new season was that this is after Pablo gets out of prison or breaks out. So they didn't really spoil anything other than if you know a little bit about Pablo Escobar, that's an element of his history. But that show has gotten a lot of buzz.
Yeah, that one I
have
seen.
A lot of people were quite hyped for that. So, yeah, would you recommend that to people?
I was hooked.
Really?
It's pretty bloody.
Okay.
Pretty violent. I mean, okay. Yeah, it's about the...
It's about drug war.
The drug trafficking and everything. But it is really good. The actors in it are amazing. I am looking forward to binge watching that.
Is it a binge worthy show? Like, can you binge it?
I mean, I can binge pretty much any show because I'll get in, I'll get excited, and just be like, I have to watch another episode.
You can binge Pierogies, and you can binge.
Yeah, that's what I'll be doing: Pierogies and Narcos.
Okay, one more Netflix one, Blake. Do you have another one, or do you want to switch over to another platform?
Well, I was going to say, I think it goes without saying, Orange is the New Black.
Everybody okay.
Attention to Orange is the New Black. I'm still in the first season. I'm a little slow on that one. That's my fault. But, you know, again, if this is a binge weekend and I'm not worn out from Narcos, I'm going to switch over to Orange is the New Black and catch up because I'm tired of people talking about it and me not knowing what's going on.
What's...
And I'm the guy that usually knows what's going on.
Yeah. What season are they on now?
I think they're on, is it
three?
Fourth season. Fourth season.
So that could fill 16 hours getting caught up on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then some.
Yeah.
Probably take you actually all the way to Tuesday, and you won't even sleep at all this week. You'll probably just be Narcos and Orange is the New Black. You'll probably squeeze Stranger Things in, and then you'll have Stranger Things is the New Black, and they're all on drugs. It'll be great. It'll be a really fun weekend of Netflix.
And then you'll...
And you just say, I binged. That's it.
And then you're calling off Tuesday, because then you're like...
Season four, by the way.
Season four. Okay. Yeah. All right, Blake, you can stick around, right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here on 720 WGN. More with Blake Stubbs and the shows you want to binge on here on this Labor Day weekend. Everybody wants a blast of magic, 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 magic. Oh, I love this song. It makes me want to dance around. just
they
hop
want
around.
You to have magic?
It wants me to have magic. Esmeralda, I've realized we're just the perfect couple here to fill in. Because you were diving into, what was it, a slider?
It was, yeah, like a steak sandwich.
And all you wanted was the steak.
Yeah.
And all I wanted was the bun. And we worked out perfectly.
It works so well. Yeah. No waste.
Yeah, exactly. And if there is waste, we'll just take it to stuff it. And we're going to stuff things with it. Okay. Blake Stubbs, out in California. He is a movie critic extraordinaire. That's what I'll call you, Blake. Does that work?
That works. It's perfect, actually.
All right, we're talking about binge. we're talking about binge watching things. Because as much as we want to go outside, there's going to be a day this weekend, hopefully, where you can have to yourself. Either you're binge. Some people like just watch binge watch the Cubs or something, which is great. But that's only 3 hours. Right. There's still much more time to fill. So we're kind of going by each of the platforms because it's so. And maybe not everyone has all the platforms, but you might have one of the streaming.
Right.
So are we going to shift to Hulu next, Blake?
Yeah, we can do Hulu. The big one on Hulu right now for me is, and it's only, I believe, 10 episode first season, and they're working on a second season right now. It's a show called The Path. And it's a pretty gritty drama. And it stars Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad, who is Jesse Pinkman, who I'm a big fan of. And then Hugh Dancy, who following the end of Hannibal on television, he played Will Graham on Hannibal. They're the two key male cast members. And then Michelle Monaghan is at the. So this show's loaded with great acting. And it's about a guy, in this case, Aaron Paul, who joins a controversial movement and finds out that it's essentially like a cult. Or is it a cult? Like, that's a big part of the early part of the show. And then he suffers from a crisis of faith. You know, his involvement with them comes into question. And so it becomes this very serious, gripping sort of drama because he's also a family man. And it gets very, very complex and intertwined. And so, obviously, this is the type of show they can make multiple seasons out of. But the first season had pretty good response, critically and from audience members.
Is that a Hulu original?
That is a Hulu original, yes.
Okay. How many episodes?
10 episodes in the first season, and then they've already got slated for a release within 2017. They're going to do season two.
Yeah, we're just trying to get the binge factor.
Yeah.
How much binging?
Yeah, right now it would be great to tune in and just watch the first season, 10 episodes, and then you're primed and ready for season two. This next year when it drops.
I don't like to measure how long I binge in hours or episodes, but in how much I can eat during that time period. Is it a chips and salsa binge, or is it a bucket of pierogies, a whole big pillow of pierogies?
This is probably a bucket of pierogies.
Okay.
And we'll put a step out and maybe get some takeout.
Okay.
You'll probably wrap up around the end of the day. Now, you know, some of these shows, if you really want to get deep on them, you know, you could end up doing breakfast, second breakfast, lunch, all that other stuff. And then you've done a whole Lord of the Rings type thing.
Yeah.
Don't want to go down that route.
And a six pack as well.
Right.
All right. So what else you got for us? Anything else on Hulu that for all the Hulu people out there?
Well, I really want to shift. Well, Hulu is just great because it has all those new shows.
Mm-hmm.
So if you missed them this week, that's the perfect, platform to just go back and watch whatever aired. You know, if you missed The Night of Fallon, if you missed something like that, now. That's really what Hulu is all about. But really, for me, the show that sticks out on that platform is Path.
Okay.
And if you want to swap over to, say, Amazon Prime,
okay,
they're somewhat going the route of Netflix, where they're producing more original content. And the two big shows for me on that platform are, one, The Man in the High Castle.
Oh,
which is,
yes. Okay, I saw that.
It's a novel adaptation that's about, you know, the alternate history where if Germany and Japan won World War II, this is what the world is like, and there's a whole resistance trying to fight it and everything. That show, I remember watching the pilot of that show and being like, you know what? This one's got potential. And then they made me wait like 3 months. Or no, it was almost a year, actually. I'm looking at the air date. And it actually then, the second episode aired on my birthday of 2015. And I remember watching it and being like, you know, this is a cool show. Production values are not, say, as high as something like Game of Thrones, but it definitely tells a cool story. It's interesting. It's a little different. If you're one of those people that likes to see that alternate history type storytelling, The Man in the High Castle is definitely worth checking out. And the first season is 10 episodes. And then the second season rolls out in December. So if you watch all of that this weekend, you're ready and you won't have to wait too long to continue on with all those characters and that story.
Is there anyone of note in it? Any big names?
Rufus Sewell is a big name in it. He's an English actor who's been in he's done a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, DJ Qualls, you know, there's some names, but it is not more of one of those A-lister packed shows. There's a lot of newer talent in the show. And I happen to like every person I saw on screen. It is one of those more serious shows.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't, you know, if you have a kid who's like 13 and under, they're like, Dad, that looks cool.
Right.
You might want to hold off. Make them, you know, you can watch that when you're older, but for the most part, it's a pretty gripping show.
You shouldn't be exposed to fascism until you're at least 15 or 16.
So I
watched that show, and I was, because I love history, and I love the idea that, I don't love the idea of this happening, but the idea of what if they had won the war. The concept is that they somehow discover the bomb before we do, and they bomb Washington, D.C., and then Germany gets basically from the Rocky Mountains east, and Japan gets California and some of the surrounding states. And that's just an interesting thought. I mean, it's obviously a scary thought to it. But what would the world look like? And it takes place in the kind of, the 60s, the late 50s, 60s, when Hitler, who would have lived through that, he wouldn't have killed himself in the bunker. Towards his dying days. So Hitler has been around still longer. So it's really interesting. I will say, Blake, and I think you kind of alluded to this, I didn't think it was the best show ever. I thought it was interesting. I didn't think it was really all that great. Okay, that's The Man in the High Castle on Amazon Prime. If you have something you're going to binge, please text us 312-981-7200. Or you can just say, I'm going outside the whole weekend. You people are crazy. What else you got for us, Blakey?
The last one, at least for Amazon, as far as shows to stream maybe this weekend and get into, there are three seasons. It's 36 episodes total, so 12 per season. But Amazon Prime's Transparent with Jeffrey Tambor is an outstanding show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 2 Golden Globe winner. It covers much more serious topics. It's about a patriarch and a family who is going through transition, and the whole family, you know, coming to terms with, and everybody sort of unloading their laundry, and everybody being more honest with each other. And there's a lot more drama in that show. But if you're wanting one of those rich dramas that has some nice, very well executed, you know, comedy, so a very good dramedy type show, Transparent is worth a look see. And it sort of hits on some serious topics, and it hits them very well. And to be honest, you know, Jeffrey Tambor is a great actor. He's a brilliant comedian, especially if you're a fan of the likes of, say, Arrested Development. But and he goes further back than that. I mean, way further back. But this is kind of one of those vehicles, like if an actor was born to play a part, Jeffrey Tambor, this was his show that he was put on this earth to be in. And he's just outstanding. I can't say enough good things about it. So
you could also,
I would definitely recommend that.
You could also just binge watch Gene Wilder stuff all weekend if you wanted to.
There's that too.
Okay, now you've unearthed my secret. That's actually what I'm going to do all this weekend. Uh-huh. But yes, and Gene Wilder, Gene Wilder was kind of one of my, I know a lot of people are saying this, and there's a whole meme going around that like, oh, so glad you're a fan now. But Gene Wilder was a hero of mine. The Blazing Saddle. Stir crazy. See No Evil, Hear No Evil. Willy Wonka. You know, I mean, how many people were kids when that movie came out? And I was a kid years, decades after that movie came out. And I still love his portrayal of that character. He just had a magnetism. So if you can get a hold of Gene Wilder, watch it.
And they're actually, I know this is going to, you have to leave your house, but AMC is doing Saturday and Sunday. They're going to show Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and Blazing Saddles certain AMCs.
Oh, at the theaters.
If you want a good double feature, there you go.
$5
each,
too.
You're going to send the kids home after one of those, but definitely, definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, fascism and then Gene Wilder are something. Some of those shows you don't want to expose to other people. Interesting. That's really interesting stuff. And we got the music playing underneath it, which is really nice as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Blake Stubbs. And Jaws is coming to streaming, so you got to watch that.
Jaws is out. You can watch Jaws now. That's actually what I'm going to do as soon as I'm off the air here. that's a John and I pastime, as he mentioned earlier. We're old friends. Probably going to call you later and start doing the Quint monologue at some point, so have your phone next to you. And, Jaws is on Netflix. Everybody should rejoice. It's Labor Day.
Absolutely.
So there you go.
All right, Blake, thanks so much for joining us, okay?
Thank you for having me. You guys have a great night.
Yeah, you too. Absolutely. Okay, more coming up with Esmeralda and John here on 720 WGN. 773 says, what's wrong with binge reading? Now, that's a novel idea. There's nothing wrong with binge reading. That's great. Nice. You can do that too. Or Rob approves. Rob Martinek approves up there. No.
That's right.
Or get together with family and friends and converse. There's so much more to life than binge watching TV. Of course there is.
Yeah, we're going to do that the other days.
Yeah, we're going to do the other days. We're picking one binge day. And thank you, Blake, so much for chiming in. Okay, it is news time. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. The news is sponsored by Indiana, a state that works. It's 9:32. Here's Rob Martier.
We met at Starbucks. Not at the same Starbucks, but we saw each other at different Starbucks across the street from each other. And Hamilton got up the courage to walk across the street one day and
approached me.
Yeah. I'd seen you at law school before.
Yeah.
And I know that sometimes I'd be in one Starbucks and then you'd be in the other Starbucks. Mm-hmm. And then I think maybe, you know, I should go over to that Starbucks next the next weekend and then you'd be at the other Starbucks. So we kind of crossed. I know, it's just so stupid.
He's so
now.
Good.
Ugh. I remember what I was drinking when I met you. It was a grande espresso.
That's right. And I thought that was really sexy.
Yeah.
I was drinking cappuccinos.
I remember.
And then I went to lattes, and then now double espresso, macchiato. Right.
And I'm now a big old, you know, chai tea latte, soy milk kind of guy.
Oh, soy, yeah.
Because of the lactose.
Mm-hmm. And I'm lactose intolerant now.
Mm-hmm. That's, of course, from Best in Show, which is a phenomenal movie. And the reason we're bringing that up, Esmeralda, mm-hmm. and that's the first thing I thought of when I read this DNA Info story, if it seems like there's a Starbucks in every block, just know that one stretch of Michigan Avenue, you're right, a new Starbucks that's opening next month at 333 North Michigan, so just a little bit that way, I'm pointing to our south, will be the fifth in a five-block stretch between the Chicago River and Millennium Park. Five stores in five blocks.
Yeah, you'll never run out of any coffee.
I know. And I love to make fun of people for that and like, oh my God, they love Starbucks. But I got to say, I took the red line down from Wrigley and all I wanted was a coffee. I normally go to some of the local neighborhood shops instead mm-hmm. of Starbucks. But when I came up from lower Illinois, I think it was, I was just like, where's the Starbucks? Left, right, it was right there. It felt so good.
They're going to implant something in your brain soon.
I'm sure they have apps, obviously, where they locate them.
That's
but,
true.
But
well,
soon
you
won't need
not
that.
Even, yeah, because, yeah, you'll just turn your head. And it's like, oh, it's right there.
Yeah, it'll be a buzzing in your brain and tell you exactly where to go. No, I just found that really funny. And, of course, that was from Best in Show, which is really funny. Okay, 720 WGN. You probably noticed this isn't Justin Kaufman with the download. It's Esmeralda Leon.
Hi.
Hi, girl.
Hi.
And myself, I'm John Hanson. You can follow me at Twitter, at John the Cubs fan. That's J-O-N, the Cubs fan. That was my AIM screen name and my AOL screen name back in
wow,
the day. And
it's I've not kept embarrassing.
It. No, no. Which are you a Twitterer?
I'm not a Twitterer.
Okay.
I have one, but I never use it.
Never use it.
I use it to sign up to win things.
Okay. That makes sense. All right, we're going to shift gears here, and we really want to hear from you guys on this one. This is really fascinating. This isn't necessarily new news, but it's something that has stuck with me ever since I heard about it. Okay, so there's a man named Stoney Emshwiller, which is interestingly enough. That's interesting enough. But when he was 18 years old, he actually filmed himself that interviewing his older self. So he recorded like a one-sided conversation with his older self. So he didn't have the answers there. He just asked some questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then 38 years later, when he was 56 recently, he finished the interview by answering his younger self's questions. And it really got me thinking about two different things. First, if you could talk to your former self or your younger self at 18 years old, which is a very, you know, important age, you're becoming an adult.
Yeah.
What advice would you give your 18-year-old self? What do you wish that you had learned at 18? So we want to hear from you, 312-981-7200. On the flip of that, let's say you are maybe a little bit younger and that 18 is not too long ago. What questions would you have for yourself a little bit older? So we're younger-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know a few things about someone in my 60s. So we're actually going to play a little clip of what this movie turned out to be. And you'll hear the difference in the voices. It's the same person talking to each other 38 years apart.
Are you exceedingly rich? I didn't think so, no. Are you married?
Very happily married.
Wow.
She's beautiful. Oh, I have pictures. You want to see pictures? Oh, my God. You're going to love this. This is like Star Trek. Remember when we made the Star Trek movie?
He's pointing to his phone at this point. There's a flashback to this movie he also made as a kid. But then
can
the questions take a turn.
I mean, can you introduce me? Because I really would like to find out just who this person is going to be.
She's
nice?
Yeah. You meet her in...
What's she look like?
Oh, my God. She's 12 years old now. Stay away from her.
Family-wise, what's happened to the family?
I don't know what I should tell you. Just, you should spend as much time as you can with them, okay?
I don't want to hear about that stuff.
Spend more time with Dad.
Can you cut the tape for a minute? Why don't you tell me something that I would never have guessed?
I like to snowboard. That's right. Doesn't even exist.
So it's a real. I know, and he's putting together in an actually in a whole movie. So I'm really fascinated to see what that whole thing looks like. It's a really cool concept, and obviously you had to be dedicated back in the day to do that, to have the foresight that you'd want to do that
exactly.
one day.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. Is there something that you would tell your younger self or a question you'd have for your older self?
Oh, to my younger self, I would tell young Esmeralda to study, pay more attention.
Really?
In college. Because I think about it now, I was the worst in college. I just either I wasn't prepared in the sense that, you know, I wasn't studying. I didn't really get those study skills mm-hmm. set. So I just didn't really. I see a big thing of like, you have to read these chapters. I'm like, forget it.
Do you feel like that's hurt you now?
It hasn't hurt me, but thinking back, it's hurt me in the wallet because I spent all that money.
Because you're not an accountant.
Yeah, I spent all that money going to college and I owe so much and I have something to show for it, but not in the sense of like, yeah, I got really great grades mm-hmm. and I learned all this. Yeah, no.
Is there anything you'd want to know from your future self? I keep on putting you on the spot here, Esmeralda. Hmm.
You want to know the regular things like, oh, who are you going to meet or who this and who that. Maybe I would probably tell my younger self, like, you know, so-and-so, don't go for them. Walk away.
I think that's a lot of them is that you would tell your younger self specific people to not necessarily spend so much time. Because you can tell someone to unmeet someone, but you can tell someone don't waste 2 years of your life with that person. I think we all have those. I have a couple of those relationships. Yeah. You're like, why? Why so long?
Exactly. It's like, it'll be fun for a little bit, but then walk away. Get mm-hmm. out of there.
312-981-7200. It's a fascinating idea, the idea that you could go back in time and tell yourself something to change. And I think a lot of people will answer back, oh, I don't want to change anything. What you learn from everything, and you do. I mean, don't get me wrong. You're going to learn from things, and that's fine. But we want to hear what you would tell your younger self. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to be back with some of your responses and more coming up here on 720 WGN. Really, Joey? Mambo number 5?
Come
You've
on.
Been so spot on. I guess it's a good dance one.
The song is so good.
Really?
Yeah, it is. Come on.
Know. He just yells out a bunch of ladies' names.
And this it's Mambo number 5.
Esmeralda Leon and myself, John Hansen, here on 720 WGN, filling in for Justin tonight. And we're only on till 10. We got some awesome stuff coming up from Sam Panayotovich. Did I say it right? I always say it as quick as I can.
I think that's Panayotovich.
Panayotovich. And Kevin Powell.
That one I remember.
Yeah. They're going to be talking about all the wonderful things happening in our prep sports leagues. I was out at Neuqua Valley today, and I put on another cheerleading outfit for the morning show I'm on. So.
Nice. Wait, another one?
Another one.
This means you put on more than one?
Yes. So I put on, yes. At Maine South, I put on a full cheerleading outfit, like the whole thing, like the skirt and the top. And in fact, it was so tight, I was able to do the report mm-hmm. fine. I did a little dance, but it was so tight and I had sweat that we couldn't get out of it. So a cheer dad had to cut me out of a cheerleading costume underneath the bleachers.
You should have ripped it like the Hulk.
I couldn't even do that. No. See, no, that it was a really thick material.
Do you have to wear little shorts?
I wore, what's funny is I didn't know I was going to even do that. Mm-hmm. So he brought out this thing and I'm like, okay, I'll try this out. We'll see if this works. And I'm like, oh gosh, it's a skirt. Like I'm going to be doing leg kicks on television. And I'm like, I don't want people to see my underwear or worse than that. So I went behind the bleachers. This is going to say, I'm glad there were no administrators there. But I pulled down my pants because I was changing. No one saw me. And I was so happy. I was at Maine South home with the Redhawks. Their colors are red. And I pulled my pants down and looked down and they were red underwear. So I was so happy.
It was kismet.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about, well, a lot of things, but we're talking about advice that you would give your younger self. And we've got a few responses. Esmeralda, yours, I think, would be to wear bug spray based on the story you told me from a couple weeks ago, right?
Don't be fooled.
Do not
by nice nights.
Yes.
The bugs are lurking.
They're waiting to ruin it. We got a text from the 847. They say they would tell their younger self to take care of their teeth.
That is so true. My mom, she's so many teeth problems. Mm-hmm. It was because she didn't. Really well, she's from Mexico and she lived on a farm, so okay. The thing of like that really wasn't a thing.
It just was different, yeah.
But still, she tells me, take care of your teeth.
Yeah.
When you're older, you want your teeth.
You're gonna need them for the pierogies. 312 says, I would say to myself that a size 8 at that time is skinny to be self confident and go out and have fun, meet people in downtown Chicago, go to the society benefits, and dare I say. Sleep with as many great-looking men as possible.
Yeah.
Girl, you better believe it. That's a good one.
I know. That is very good. Yeah, because especially women, for the most part, you get that whole, if you're not a certain size, if you don't look a certain way, it's starting to change. The tide is starting to change a little bit, but yeah, growing up, you get a lot of that.
872 says, oh, this has got to be a guy, don't get married thinking with the wrong head. Which
I see.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't need to play that out for anyone, but I think they get it. Yeah, get married for the right reasons, not for the wrong ones.
I like the 773 about the 80s.
Yeah, what's that?
This text from 773 during the 80s: less cocaine, more sunscreen. Good job, guy. Yeah,
that's really good. And I said Redhawks. They are just the Hawks at Maine South. I apologize. That thank you, Texter. All right, Sue. So you say that you should speak up. What do you say? Speak up more. You said.
Yes. Good evening, everybody. I was a very, very, very shy teenager, and people tried to give me support and so on, but I just wish I would tell myself to speak up more and ask more questions, and if you need some help, ask for it and trust your intuition.
That's good. Is that something you've learned over time that you weren't good at before and now you're maybe a little bit better at, or you're still struggling with that and you wish you would have maybe come out your shell earlier so that you'd be even more confident now?
Yes, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. But hey, you spoke up. You
never
called.
Too late, right?
You called the radio station.
Yeah, better late than never.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Sue, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
We're running out of time here. 312-981-7200. Message to younger self from the 773. Just wait. Don't ask out every girl in the entire grade.
I say blanket thing.
I was going to say.
Canvas the whole thing.
That's interesting, because usually the advice is, oh, go out with everyone. You're young.
Right,
who cares?
Yeah, like, because what's the worst they can say? No.
No, exactly. Ask everyone out. But this person says not to do that. That's interesting. 312-981-7200. We could probably squeeze in a few more texts before we wrap up. This is getting a little personal. I'm not trying to shock anyone, but as a gay man, I didn't come out till after college. I didn't come out till I was 22, and I would have come out a lot earlier. It was way easier than I thought it would be. My family was very supportive, and I knew they would be. My friends were totally supportive. I mean, it worked out great. I've had a great life, and it's no big deal, but I definitely wrestled with some emotions for probably about 5 or 6 years that I probably didn't need to.
Yeah, I was going to say, thinking about it, when would you?
I would have done it, because I went in the high school in the late 90s, and it still was a little, the stigma wasn't there. I would have done it right when I got to college, just because you're in that independent stage. And again, I don't regret it at all. I had a great 4 years. I lived at my college town for 4 more years working down there, so I kind of had like college too as an out person. But I think it was that when you come out, and people that have gone through this experience can probably echo this, you have to relearn everything. So I did date girls in high school, even though I knew that I wasn't like really into them. Then at 22, I became like a 14-year-old girl of emotions. So that first breakup, you've never done that. You've never been hurt like that emotionally. And I had my first job. I was already like, I felt like an adult. But then here I am being broken up with, and you feel like a 14-year-old girl, and you feel so silly that you are feeling so emotional over things. So it just kind of stunts that a little bit. And I think a lot of gay men and probably lesbian women can go through that, have that similar thought, that it's just a little delayed and you feel a little bit silly. So that would be mine.
Okay.
Man, I opened up here.
Emotions are coming out.
So yours is wear bug spray. Would you blanket
and learn better.
And learn better.
Pay attention in class.
And you would blanket you would ask every guy out on dates?
Yeah. You know what? Going to that, I was in a relationship for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, from like 20 to 30.
Mm-hmm.
And so thinking back, I don't regret being in that relationship for 10 years, but I'm like, maybe I should have done more dating, because now I did it after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of a ball of emotions too, like a 14-year-old, like, does he like me? He doesn't like me. Because I never really experienced that. I went right into a relationship.
Man, you're just like a gay man, Esmeralda.
That before.
Don't doubt it. We're going to take a quick break here and wrap things up next on 720 WGN. Don't kill that hobo. That's the latest one we've heard.
Tell your younger self.
Yeah, tell your younger self.
Even if no one finds out, it's not going to be good for you.
Absolutely. All right, we got Sam Peniotovich. Am I saying that right?
You had it good earlier,
Sam Peniotovich.
And then you just dropped it.
I know. I should be able to say these names.
Just mumble fast and nobody will notice.
That's what I'm doing. Sam Peniotovich. Peniotovich.
Well, when Gene's not there at the Hawks games, you do all those Russian and Czech names.
And I'm fine with that. Sabetic McCulloch. That sort of stuff is fine. That's no problem. It's Peniotovich that's driving
Powell me a little... will get you every time.
Yeah, every single time. So do you guys have advice for your younger selves? Anything that you'd want to impart knowledge on?
I was saying off the air, honestly, like,
Not really. I would just let me be my dumb self, make mistakes. And like I said to you guys, I didn't ever make like huge major mistakes. It was fairly minor stuff. So nothing really. I think it's better just to leave it be. Have you seen Back to the Future, people? Don't mess.
You're messing with your mom.
Exactly. Calling you Calvin Klein and you're bad. Leave it be.
I would probably stop getting bad haircuts like right before picture day, like, all the way through senior year.
Oh, that's a good one. If you're going to get a haircut before a major event, there's photos, like there's got to be a week or two buffer.
Yeah. No,
I'd get it. Like picture day was Wednesday. I'd get that chop shop Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, really?
And look stupid.
You want the fresh look. Right, for
not
the
you got to have a buffer in case that happens.
You got to give yourself some time to grow out of it or whatever. Oh, you guys got a great show coming up, right? A lot of high school sports results coming in.
Yeah, we think. Who's coming on?
So, people that know high school football even better than Sam Panayotovic, which is hard to do. But Neuqua Valley, John, they're up 17-7 late, likely going to beat Naperville Central.
Yeah, they're big rivals there. I think their big rivalry is Waubonsie Valley. I think they're playing next week. So I learned a lot about Neuqua Valley when I was out there today. Guys, have a great show, okay?
Thanks.
Esmeralda, this has been fun.
Yes, I've had a very enjoyable time stuffing myself with pierogies with you.
Glad you finished that sentence. That was great. Okay, this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNRadio.com. The news is sponsored by Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort. Here's Rob Martier.
No way that can be taken out of context.